ജയ വിഷുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരവ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഡ രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമഃ ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ലീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്ഥിമയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥീമദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ പുരുഷദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവിഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം യം പ്രപ്രഗന്ധം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി സ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൻ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തി കളവേണൂപണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോഹ മമ വാചി വിചമ്പദാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭികാഭികാവീ നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യ പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ നന്ദവിജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയം വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസതാംബുരഗോമമാം മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീമഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദതാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോദോ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീ ഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രഥജലാഗന്ധാരനീലോൽപ്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ ക്രമേണ മഹനീകർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകകേശവ പാരാശല്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതമംഗജക്കളിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവനുരേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ.
Yesterday we were talking about this verse 30 which is in relationship with the buddhi, isn't it? Buddhi pravrtincha nivrtincha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham mokshanjaya veti buddhisa partharajase. So, important thing to notice there, what Krishna is saying is that buddhisa partha sattviki. Important thing to remember there is sattviya buddhi knows what is bandham and moksham. This is the important principle there. Sattviya buddhi knows what is bandham, what is moksham. That is, Krishna is giving importance to that. Have you noticed in that verse? If one does not know what is bondage and what is liberation, then bandham moksham, then his intelligence is not in the mode of goodness, is not in the sattvika buddhi. That's the important principle. Yesterday we spoke about that. We have understood, we mentioned this also, that practically bandham moksham, the way the world sees, is totally different than the way Krishna is explaining to us. Here, bondage and liberation, freedom, is completely different than the way Krishna has explained. Krishna is saying to us that so long as even we are at the moment ruled by politicians and so many different authorities, practically we are under the control of their ragadvesham, is it not? What their ragadvesham is what's controlling our life today in this world. So, you can't say that that is freedom. That is not freedom. That's not liberation. Because all these things are, Krishna says, is bondage, because anyone who lives in this world, he has no freedom, he has no possibility of any kind of freedom in any way. Because real freedom is knowledge of the self. That is the first point Krishna is pointing out to us. See how important that is. Real freedom, if we say it, freedom, freedom, we are all talking about freedom. Real freedom, Krishna is saying, if you have knowledge of the self, you have freedom. Otherwise, you have no freedom. You have no freedom. And such a person, he knows what is bondage and what is liberation. And when you know that knowledge of the self is bondage, and not knowing the knowledge of the self is liberation, not knowing the self is bondage, Krishna says, that is what he is saying there. Bandham moksham jaya veti. See that third line. Bandham moksham jaya veti. Which means that knowledge of the self is liberation, and that knowledge of the self is liberation, and not knowing the self is bondage. And that is called Bandham moksham jaya veti. And you can see this point, what Krishna has made here, is not known to many people in this world, isn't it? Rarely anyone will understand this principle. All people whom you can want, whomever you want to talk to, and talk about freedom, liberation, including the big, big leaders, you can talk to them. Prime ministers and presidents and big men in this world, ask them what is freedom and what's liberation. Will they give this answer? They won't. They don't know that. So that is why, in other words, generally nobody understands it. What Krishna is saying. Bondage is not knowing the self. Liberation is knowing the self. If that means you have freedom if you have knowledge of the self. If you are a slave if you have no knowledge of the self. This principle, once it is known, Krishna is saying, then you are in the rightly situated. Practically what Krishna is saying here, most of these people in the world, their intelligence has not started working. Their intelligence has not started working yet, in the way Krishna has spoken here. That means, buddhisa partha sattvigi, that their buddhi is definitely not in the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness. For them, what does their intelligence tells them? Intelligence tells them that they are thinking that if I listen to somebody, if somebody tells me something, and if I listen to that, it's a bondage. That's how most of the people think. Why should I listen to him? Who is he? That's the attitude. So that means that if you feel that you are being instructed by somebody, and you feel that I am being instructed by someone, then I feel I am in bondage. That is the bondage in the material life. People think like that. For example, people think, children when they grow up, they think, why should I listen to my father, mother? And they start thinking that, oh, why should I have that bondage? Why should I be? I'm independent. I should be able to make decisions. So, and they think that if I don't listen to them, that's liberation for them, for the children. They think that it's liberation for them if they don't listen to their parents. Similarly, anything, what if you are listening to the society, that is bondage. If you are listening to society, it's bondage. If you are listening to everything what the government is telling you, then that's also bondage. That's also bondage. So therefore, sometimes when the youth gets very upset about it, then they turn into violence, isn't it? Throwing stones at the buses and smashing everything down and all other things. Or burning things and set fire to so many things and make their protest known that we want freedom to do what we want. We don't want to listen to anybody. And they think that that is liberation for them. So that means running around in this world, not listening to anybody, completely independent. So that's the problem. So Krishna is saying all these things are neither freedom nor liberation. Real. So none of them is knowledge actually. You can see from this that there is no knowledge in the world. Among the general classes of people, there is no knowledge. Among the general class of people, there is no knowledge at all. So therefore, that intelligence which is based on Shastram, that knowledge is Sattvigam. That is the conclusion. We talked about it yesterday. What is bandham moksham? We also spoke about what is the what we told yesterday about the that in this body, with birth and death, happiness and distress, all mixed up with this body is bandham, is bondage. So long as there is a body, and so long as there is happiness and distress associated with this body, and there is birth and death, it's always bondage. Till we realize the self and free ourselves from this bondage of the body, till that time there is no freedom. So bandham moksham has to be understood in that way. Only in that way. There is no other way. That is bandham and that is moksham. So after saying that, so now we understand what is sattvika buddhi, isn't it? Buddhi in the mode of goodness. That is what it is. Buddhi sa partha sattviki, Krishna says there. Pravritti nivritti we have seen yesterday. What's pravritti and nivritti? How intelligent people who are living a life of pravritti, they can turn that into nivritti. And how those who are in nivritti stage, they can live in this world doing pravritti. That's their, expertise in doing that. Then you can understand that karya karye bhaya bhaye, karyam, they know the karyam, therefore there is abhayam. And there is a karyam, they have bhayam towards that. Knowing this world and to be frightened about this world is necessary. And no fear about Krishna. It is always the other way for us. We are not frightened about the world, we are frightened about Krishna. Is it not? That's the way people are, all of us. We are always fearful. Will I do something and Krishna will get upset with me? There is no need to be frightened about Krishna. Krishna is not for frightening us. We have to be frightened about the world. Sometimes we say, oh, I have offended somebody and therefore I am frightened that some reaction will come. Those are not important points in life. We have to be frightened about this world. Sometimes this is given too much importance to those things, isn't it? Oh, I offended somebody. Was there some reaction coming from that? I offended the Vaishnavas, I offended devotees, therefore I am getting the reaction from that. It is all our own mind concocting all that things. What Krishna is telling us, be frightened about the world, not about what Krishna will do to you or other devotees will do to you. Nobody will do anything to us. It's only our own fear in the wrong place. Always frightened about Krishna, or Krishna frightened about the devotees, that they may get upset. No, they won't. The world is what is a fearful situation for us. Birth and death, old age and disease, death, and all associated with this body and the world itself is the cause of our fear. So, yesterday we spoke about pravritti, nivritti, karyam, akaryam, bhayam, abhayam, and also now bandham and moksham. All these things, if all these things are there in our life, we have this understanding, then your buddhi is sattvigi. That's all. Only then it is sattvigi, not otherwise. Sometimes we think, he is very good because he is always in the mood of goodness. We say, about somebody we will make a comment like that. How do you know that he is in the mood of goodness? Just because he is taking bath 3 times a day or he gets up in the morning. No, that's not. That's not how you decide somebody is in the mood of goodness. Somebody, you have to make that decision. If he is able to speak in terms of this Bhagavad Gita's instructions and live on that basis, and then you can understand that his buddhi is working in the mode of goodness, satyam. Otherwise not. Otherwise there is no need to say all these things. Krishna didn't say anything about his cleanliness or his external purity, what we observe, isn't it? Buddhisa artha sattvigi. So, O son of Pritha, that understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. So this is what we have spoken about so far. After saying this, now if you look, you go into the next verse, Krishna is telling us how a person whose buddhi is in the mood of passion, rajasic nature. That is the next verse. So, yatha dharmam adharmam cha.
Yatha dharmam adharmam cha.
karyam cha karyam eva cha ayathavat prajanadi buddhisaparta rajasi yatha dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayathavat prajanadi buddhisaparta rajasi. So a shift from sattvikam to rajasam. How does that change? Yadha dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayathavat prajanadi buddhisaparta rajasi. So rajasa buddhi's first nature is that he does not know shastram. He doesn't study shastram. He doesn't care for it. He thinks he knows everything. Why should I consult shastram? That is his attitude. That is a big problem, because when people don't take seriously what Krishna is saying, then how does he know these things? How is he going to know this if he is not understanding what Krishna is saying there? So, and similarly, he does not accept what shastram is saying, dharmam adharmam, and what is his kartavyam, kartrutvam, kartavyam or akartavyam. All these things, where else will you understand except from Bhagavad Gita? Who else will tell us that? Nobody will tell us that from the world. Society is not going to tell you. Government is going to tell you. The university is not going to tell you. Where else will you find it from except from Bhagavad Gita? So that is the first thing. That more nature of a person, Krishna is saying, it is rajasam. That's the rajasic nature. Because Krishna says here, O son of Pratha, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. Is in the mode of passion. For example, when we do not know what Bhagavad Gita is talking about or Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, then we won't know what is dharmam, isn't it? Bhagavatam begins with what? Dharma projida gaita vatra paramo narmat saranam sadam vedyam. Is it not? So dharmam has to be known from shastram, nowhere else. Otherwise it will be all kaitava dharmam. Cheating religion it will become. So dharmam adharmam karyam akaryam. All this ayathavad. That means understanding in the wrong way. Understanding in the wrong way. And that is rajogunam. That is rajogunam. Dharmam, if you ask him what is dharmam, he will say, he will make his own dharmam, his own law. He will say, what I am doing is the right thing. He gets convinced, he convinces himself and he tells others also, this is dharmam. That means he manufactures his own dharmam. And shastram, prakriti, none of them is his authority. And ayadhavat prajanadi, because you see this problem is in everybody. Yudhishthira Maharaj got into trouble because of this. When Yudhishthira Maharaj, because this problem, rajasa buddhi affected him, that is why he went to gamble. Remember? He went to gamble with them. He says that it is his explanation for that is that we are kshatriyas, we are kings. And when they are invited to play the dice or gambling, we have to do it. That was his logic to go. And then you know what happened, what all ended up after that. So so the same problem we all have in our present sophisticated society. In our sophisticated society, many people are thinking like that. That this is, they all manufactured their own dharma and they are saying that, oh, I know what is right, like Yudhishthira said, and goes and does what they like, isn't it? And just like you can see, many young people, they don't want to drink alcohol. They don't want to drink. And then they get involved in socializing, in the party. And when they go there, everybody is drinking. And they are saying that this is the norm of the society, standard of the society, dharma of the society. And then he also gets introduced into it. The society won't let you escape from that. He'll drag you into it. Because that's the dharma of the society. So, and that is what dharma projita kaidava otra varamo narmat saranam sadam. Bhagavatam says like that. Kaidava dharmam.
That means kaidha means cheating, cheating religion. In other words, that kind of religious principles where there is no cheating, which is honest and straightforward, where there is no selfishness, that dharmam, Krishna says here, that yaya dharmam adharmam cha. He knows what is dharmam and what is adharmam. What is dharmam and what is adharmam. And here it is not like that. Those who are in the mode of goodness, they will know what is dharmam, what is adharmam. But in the rajasic buddhi, what will happen is, they will take adharmam as dharmam. They will do adharmam and justify as dharmam. Justify as dharmam. And otherwise, they will hold on to something which was dharmam sometime before, and they will hold on to that very strongly, and therefore problem comes for them. And they have difficulties because of that in advancing in spiritual life as well. So that is why Krishna is saying here, yaya dharmam adharmam cha, yatha dharmam adharmam cha, karyam cha akaryam eva cha, ayathavat prajanadi, ayathavat prajanadi, buddhisa partha rajasi, buddhisa partha rajasi. Therefore, our selfishness is because of that. You know, our selfishness is holds on to something. For example, if you may have in a subtle level accepted something from the society as dharma, in a subtle level, and you will hold on to that, thinking that this is the dharma. You have not consulted shastram. In your own mind you have made it up, because society is following that, and you have accepted that as dharma. It's a big problem. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that ayathavat prajanadi, you are accepting something. Society says to you that this is the way you should live. This is how you should maintain. This is how you should interact. So many things society is dictating to us. And that society norms we have taken and made it as our dharma. And that is a big blunder. That's where problem comes. And therefore, that is coming from this rajasic buddhi. Rajasa buddhi is the cause behind it. Rajasa buddhi is the cause behind it. So, Krishna is saying in the 11th chapter, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, while talking about dharmam, who decides dharmam? Krishna decides the dharmam. Shashwata dharma gopta. There is a word used for Krishna. Shashwata means eternal. Eternal, the person who has authorized what is dharmam eternally. That's Krishna. The word used is, if you look in the 11th chapter, you will see there, Shashwata dharma gopta, in the universal form. It is Arjuna saying to Krishna, when Arjuna was completely in confusion, he says to him, Shashwata dharma gopta sanadhanastam purushomadomi. That is the word. Shashwata dharma gopta sanadhanastam purushomadomi. He says Arjuna's words to Krishna, that that I do not know, he says, I don't know anything, what is dharmam or adharmam. You are the person who has established dharmam in this world. And therefore, we have to accept what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, look at that verse. Shashwata dharma gopta sanatanastam purushomatomi. Afterwards, dhyavya pradibhyorida mandaram hi. That verse, let's look at that. It's a famous statement from Arjuna about Krishna. Shashwata dharma gopta. That's the word. Shashwata dharma gopta sanadhanastam purushomatomi. Anadim adhyandam ananda viryam ananda bahum shashisurya netram. That is the verse after that. 18? Verse 18, text 18. Tomaksharam paramam veditavyam, tomasya vishyasya param nidhanam, tomavyaya shashwata dharma gopta, sanadhanastam purushomatomi. That shashwata dharma gopta, that is Krishna. Shashwata dharma gopta. You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. Then next one. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion. So that is what it is. He is the person who has to decide what is religion, what's not, not the society. So their correction is required in all of us. We are accepting what society is dictating to us as dharmam. That's wrong. That dharmam is dharmastu sakshat bhagavil pranidam. Only Krishna has the authority to tell us what is dharmam. So, and Shashvata dharma gopta means Krishna has the responsibility to protect dharmam in this world. And in other words, suppose we are people who are trying to realize the truth in this world, Krishna accepts that as dharmam. Because that is the dharmam Krishna has given us. To realize the truth, isn't it? To realize who you are, self-realization. That is the dharmam Krishna has given to us. So if we take that as dharmam, then the way we live in this world, by whatever way you live in this world, if it is creating bhakti inside, if it is creating knowledge inside, and if it is creating self-realization, and if it leads into liberation, and if you set up your life in that way, that is called a dharma. Suppose you live a life in this world, which is developing bhakti in the heart, knowledge in the heart, self-realization, and leads to finally to eventually to liberation. If all these things, if your life is centered around on all these principles, and if you are living a life like that, that is dharma. Otherwise it's not dharma. So, and Krishna will support us. Krishna will always be in, will support us for that. Otherwise, we won't get any support from Krishna. Because that is what Krishna is expecting us from, to do. So, and if not only Krishna will support us, even the material nature will be favorable. At that time, will be favorable. That is why it is said there, Shashvata Dharma Gopta. In that verse, Krishna says, Shashvata Dharma Gopta, Arjuna says there. Isn't it? Yeah. Shashvata Dharma Gopta Sanadhanastam Purushomadomi. Sanadhanastam, that Sanadhana Dharmam is that. That if we live a life in this world to develop bhakti, to develop knowledge, jnanam, vairagyam, bhakti jnana vairagyam, and also live a life for with this goal of self-realization and with the goal of getting released from this grip of prakriti, then Krishna will support us in that. Because you are following dharma, you will get all the support from Krishna. You will get all the support from Krishna. Not only Krishna will support us, even the material nature will support us. That is why Shashvata Dharma Gopta. Excluding this, there are other rules in this world, and we are doing things the way we like. We don't want to know anything what Krishna is saying. We are rejecting all these things, what Krishna has spoken. Which means, bhakti jnana vairagyam, self-realization, alpasashvalkaram, self-realization, moksham, liberation. Instead of accepting all these things, you have rejected all that things, and then the society has created some rules and regulations about dharma. And if you are following all that, Krishna is saying, your buddhi is in rajasam. That's it. Very simple. Is it not? Very easy to understand. You see how things change. Most of the people think that they are following the society and they consider themselves to be properly situated. That they feel that they are doing the right thing. Is it not? That is not correct. When our life is tuned in this way, bhakti jnana vairagyam, such self-realization and liberation as the goal, and living in this world in such a way to promote these things in a person, then he is following dharma. Because that's what Krishna has given to us as dharma. Otherwise it's not. So, anything that is prescribed in the Shastram is dharmam. What is rejected in the Shastram is adharmam. That is what he is saying there. Ayadhavat prajanadi. See the third line? Ayadhavat prajanadi. Ayadhavat prajanadi means you will understand things, everything upside down. You know how powerful the society's influence on us is? You have to look yourself inside and see how much you are concerned about complying with the society, isn't it? Society does a lot of, society dictates so many things in a gross level and in a subtle level. And we'll accept all that without any hesitation. Why? Because my own false ego wants recognition in the society. Therefore I'll accept that. I'll find it very hard to reject that. But what Krishna is saying here is, Ayadhavat Prajanadi, you have gone and followed all these things and your intelligence is Rajasam. That is Rajasik Buddhi. So that means not understanding things properly. Proper understanding is what Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita. That is proper understanding. And therefore Krishna calls that is Rajasa Buddhi. Rajasa Buddhi. So influence of the society, influence of the various other influences, whatever that is controlling and dictating our life in this world, we must know that it is my own Rajasic nature. That Rajogunam is strong in me, therefore I am doing all that. You can't connect it up with the social rules and social etiquette with the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is very absolute and straightforward about self-realization. So, after saying that, Krishna is talking about the next one, which is Tamasic Buddhi. So, Sattvika Rajasa Tamasam. Intelligence in Sattvikam, Rajasam Tamasam. We have to understand this and try to follow that as best as we could, because otherwise it's not making any sense in what Krishna is saying here, isn't it? So, let's look at the next verse.
Adharmam dharmamidiya manyade tamasavridam sarvarthan vivaridamscha buddhisaparta tamasi. Adharmam dharmamidiya manyade tamasavridam sarvarthan vivaridamscha buddhisaparta tamasi.
So, the next one, due to tamogunam, because tamogunam covers everything, that's the nature of tamogunam, isn't it? It covers knowledge. Therefore, everything a person in tamogunam, his buddhi will be, he will consider adharmam also in the wrong way, dharmam also in the wrong way. Adharmam and dharmam, everything he will make it in the opposite way, in the opposite way. So, adharmam pratishiddham dharmam vihidam idiya manyade janadi tamasa avrda sadhi sarvarthan sarvan eva nyaya padarthan vibaridansha vibaridan eva vijanadi buddhisa partha tamasi. Krishna says, if Shastram says something is adharmam, a person with tamasic intelligence, who has got tamasic nature, what he will say is that he will consider that as dharmam. Shastram says it's adharmam, but he will argue. He will say it is a dharmam. And that means to understand everything in a opposite way. Everything in the opposite way. That is the nature of the tamasic buddhi. Tamasa buddhi is like that. Slight difference from the rajasic nature. Satyam is very easy to understand, is it not? That, as Krishna said there, in the Satyam he mentioned pravarti, nivarti, karyam, akaryam, bandham, moksham. If these three are the guiding principles in life, then his buddhi is Satyam. His buddhi is Satyam. Then, next one, he said that Shastram instructs dharmam adharmam. He won't understand that. He won't accept that. He will make his own dharmam-adharmam rules. That's one. Then karyam-agaryam he does not know. And ayadhavat prajanadi. That means everything in the upside down, he will understand things. Upside down, he will understand. Instead of understanding the proper way, he will understand the upside down. And that's rajasam. Now tamasam Krishna is saying here, that intelligence which is full of darkness inside. And important problem is that if Shastrami says something is adharmam, he will take it as dharmam. And sometimes you can see that some people think like this, that those who don't join our religion, we should kill them. Be planting bombs or whatever. You know that. So that's the whole problem, isn't it? Suppose somebody is not joining my religion, then I should plant a bomb and kill them all. This is coming from that. Tamasabuddhi, isn't it? And depending on how many people I kill, I get my place there in the higher planets. Isn't it? I get my higher planets. So that is what it is. Adharmam dharmam idiya, Krishna is saying. It's a perfect example of that. Adharmam dharmam idiya. It is adharmam, but they have taken it as dharmam. You can't get a better example than that. What do you do when you people do that? That is coming from that tamasa buddhi. If anybody asks an example, that's the best example you could give it. There's so many people who believe in that, isn't it? That somebody is not following my religion, so I have to kill him. And similarly, more the people I kill in that way, I get my place in the heavenly planets. I will go there and I'll enjoy, and they have their own description of their enjoyment, what they're going to have there, and what they're going to enjoy. There is no better example than that for this tamasabuddhi. Tamasabuddhi, how it works. So, they also have this understanding, all these goats, cows, chicken, everything is meant as our food. They're very convinced. That's also this tamasabuddhi. See how tamasabuddhi, majority of the people is in the rajasa tamasam, and even in that, majority is tamasam. That is what you have to learn from this. Majority of the people in this world is rajasa tamasam. 99%, more than 99, is rajasa tamasam. And out of that 99.9%, out of the 99.9, if you multiply by another 99.9 of this 99.9 is in the tamasam. That is how much it is today. So, and they are thinking that, they are convinced about this, that all these animals in this world is meant to be my, for my gratification, for my food. And there's no harm in killing them and eating them. This much they are convinced about that. So these two things you can see. One group, they are convinced about this. And the other group thinking, the more we kill, the higher the elevation. Is there no better examples than this, than tamasabuddhi, how it works? Krishna is explaining that to us. If you fall down into that state, what can you do? What can you do? Because he says here, see that word? Manyade tamasavrada. That's the word Krishna is using there. Manyade tamasavrada. Tamas has enveloped their thinking, their knowledge. Whatever little knowledge is inside, that is manyade tamasavrada. Tamasam has, and in other words, in their intelligence, darkness has stepped in. Darkness has stepped in. Sarvarthan viparidamscha. Krishna says, Sarvarthan viparidamscha. Buddhisa partha tamasi. So everything they will understand in the opposite way. Everything they will understand in the opposite way. Upside down. And that is due to this tamasam. Do you remember Duryodhana says this in the Mahabharata about this thing? What did he say? When Krishna went to talk to them, to Kauravas, to Dhritarashtra, and Bhishma, Vidura, they were all there in the assembly. And Duryodhana was advised by everybody, look, don't create this war, we can avoid it if you agree with this thing. You know what he said to them? Janami dharmam. Janami adharmam nachame nivrti. What can I do? I know it is bad, wrong to create this war, Mahabharata war. He says, I know it's wrong, but I can't do anything about it. He's saying, nachame nivrti. Janami adharmam nachame nivrti. I know half the kingdom should go to them, but I don't want to give it. Inside he has made the decision. That tamasa, that is tamasic buddhi. Not able to become conscious of when you're making a decision, whether it's right or wrong, due to tamogunam inside. Janami adharmam nachame nivrti. I'm not able to change it, my decision. Everybody is advising him, but he says, I can't help. I know what you're saying is all right, but I can't change my decision. Why? tamas, tamogunam. In buddhi, if tamogunam steps in, this is what will happen. Then he says, janami dharmam najame pravrti. I know what is dharmam, but I'm not able to do it, he says. I can't do the dharmam, and I know what is adharmam, but I'm not able to get out of it. This is how he answered that to Vidura. He says this to them. So, and I know, he says, I'm doing adharmam, but I'm not able to give it up. I'm not able to give it up. But at least he had that knowledge. Duryodhana at least had that knowledge, isn't it? But Duryodhana, but a person in tamogunam, he doesn't even know that. So what problem is, Arjuna, at least Duryodhana accepted that far. He's agreeing with that. That he knows what is dharmam, he doesn't know what is dharmam. But tamogunam, if it has gone in somebody strongly, then he will try to establish his adharmam, what he is doing, as dharmam. That's what he will try to do. He will try to establish, like these people who does this, killing others, they will try to establish that they are doing the dharma, although they are doing the adharma. This is the difficulty. So there are so many things like this. If you observe carefully, you can see this in the society. In our vyavaharam, transactions in this world, a lot of things are adharmam. Lot of adharmam is going on. So, while running, say, even spiritual institutions, temples and all that, certain things we will do, which is adharmam. And if you ask yourself, you may say that it is adharmam, but they'll say the committee has decided like this. And to everybody is doing that, so we are also doing the same thing. And therefore, can we do that without being? What can we do? We have to do that. So, just like everybody is drinking poison, so can I stay without drinking the poison? Everybody is doing that, so let me also have it. Similarly, when society comes together and makes decisions, and those things what is decided by the society, because society is doing that, do I also have to do that? This question will come. And we will dress up adharmam as dharmam and present it to the world. And that is coming from tamogunam. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, and that we have to ask ourselves, our own conscience, and is it possible, proper to do that? And that is why Upanishad says, Jagrada, Jagrada, Jagrada. Jagrada, Jagrada, Uttishtada, Jagrada, Shruti says. Uttishtada means that you have to wake up for knowing Brahma Vidya, or realizing the Self. In other words, Self-realization is the goal. But in order to be established in the knowledge of the Self, all the adharmam has to leave from in life. Adharmam has to leave in life. That is why it says Jagrada. Without getting slipped, no slip, and not making compromise is important in spiritual life. Not to slip off from that awareness, alertness, or Jagrada, and not to make compromise on these things. So, not to dilute things. And wherever we are diluting these principles as much as possible, little by little, not to dilute it, but rather hold on to this principle what Krishna has spoken here. That's the main message in that verse, he's telling us. So that is the three kinds of intelligence Krishna has spoken. Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. All three are different, are they not? You know what Satvikam means? You know what Rajasam means? You know what Tamasa means. So, while engaged in Vyavaharam in this world, often we will make some compromise. We have to make some compromise, isn't it? And that is, Krishna is saying that also. Adharmam dharmam idiya manyade tamasa vridam. Then, we have to look ourselves and see, am I doing anything adharmam in life, and am I causing problem to others? Causing problem to others. Violence, cheating, and lying, all these things, and I'm doing something to impress others, things like that. And am I doing something thinking that it is all justified in doing that as dharma? And sarvarthan viparidamscha. Krishna uses a word there. You see that? Sarvarthan viparidamscha. That means everything, understanding in the opposite way. If you do that, in the opposite way, everything, Krishna says, buddhisa partha tamasi. That buddhi is tamasi. Tamasi. What will happen is, at that time, good thing, you will start taking it as bad. And anityam ashuchi. Analpmasu nitya shuchi atma jyotihi. Upanishad says, in other words, anitya means temporary thing. You will accept it as permanent. You will accept it as permanent. And things which are unclean and dirty, you will take it as pure. Analma, you will take it as alma. Analma, that means asata. You will accept it as alma. Anityam ashuchi. Analmasu nitya shuchi atma jyotihi. So, that is called avidya. Which one? Taking analma as alma. Analma as alma. For example, identification with the body, mind, intelligence, this is all analma it is. So, accepting that as the self is analma, accepting as alma. And that is called avidya. Similarly, analmasu nitya shuchi atma jyotihi. Krishna is saying, a temporary thing in this world, accepting it as permanent. And doing vyavaharam on that basis, as to everything is permanent here. Impure things, accepting as pure. So, tamasavrita buddhihi, Krishna says there, many things in this world, we do it in that way. So, sometimes we say that people steal others' wealth, is it not? Go to other countries and exploit them and get their wealth out from them somehow. Like through business ways, through crooked ways of extracting wealth from others. And steal, for example, people commit various ways to get the gold, for example, from the banks or from the government. And they will justify that, something they will have to justify why they are doing. When they make the robbery, big robberies, they do that, isn't it? They feel that they have been heavily punished by the government. They don't like the government policies or government's way of doing things. So they go against the government, and sometimes then they develop this in a violent way by committing some robbery or dacoity and take the gold from the banks or from the wherever that is being stored. And similarly, one country invades another country. Why? Oh, they have got a lot of gold or they have got a lot of oil. And some or the other, we want it. Because they have got that, so they invade them and get it out of them. And this also happens in a national level, isn't it? Now, in a family level, this happens. Family level. How? Sometimes the elder brother give a lot of pain to the younger brother. He thinks that after he got married, he has got wife, children, everybody, then he start thinking that everything what is inherited from the parents, he wants to take control of that. So he denies it for other members who also have a share in the property or in the assets. So he tries to get rid of the younger brothers. The elder brother try to get rid of the younger brother and try to collect it for himself. Equally, sometimes younger brother gives trouble to the elder brother. also. So, if you ask a question, why does it all happen? It's very difficult to say that, isn't it? Both of them have come from the same mother. And they were mutually willing to exploit each other and give trouble to each other for the sake of the wealth, assets or property or whatever it is. And if you ask any one of them who are doing that, elder brother or younger brother, doesn't matter, who is doing that, they will say that we know that it is wrong, but I want it. And if you ask them why you are doing it, then they don't know the answer. They don't know the answer. So, because they have convinced themselves that this is my property, I should have it. And they don't want to give it to the others or share with others. It always happens in many, many families. That's why in the West they have become a little bit more sophisticated in these things. They make their will and everything as clear as possible before death. But many Indian families, because it's not become so well established, many family members, before the parents' departure, they lived as a family together. So they never felt that the other person will cheat him mutually. They will take it like this. They will trust the other person. The elder brother will trust the younger brother. Younger brothers and sisters, they will also trust the elder brothers. So on the basis of trust, they go that far. But then suddenly, when father, mother disappears and the property is left behind for the family members, all the problem starts then. And this writing will and all that was not so prominent in the society then. But now that's also becoming very much, because parents have realized now that if you don't do it, after they leave, there will be fight. So in order to avoid that, they've started doing that. Here, it's become more sophisticated. They have already make up their mind well in advance that they make it everything very well settled so that there's no... So many people, you can see, they die in this world without proper persons to inherit that property, and somebody else takes advantage of that and takes the property away. If you look at the reports, you will see thousands and thousands of properties are gone like this. Some people have taken advantage of the situation. What they've done is, sometimes single old people, they're living alone, and at the old age there's no one to care. And in that situation, sometimes somebody smells that he has got property, and they make friendship, and they do some little service at the last minute, but prior to that, we make sure that they have signed the property in their name. And you see what happens? After a few months, the old man or old lady, he dies and goes away. And then this person moves into the house, the property is in his name. So you can see all these kind of things going on in the society, isn't it? But because here, more legally it is done. More legally, because you can't say anything about it, because he has legally inherited. Therefore it becomes his inheritance, isn't it? But in India many times what happens is, because there is this feeling of relationships strongly taken into account, thinking that everything will go smoothly, but suddenly how it has switched next day, you don't know. It has happened in the family life. This always happens. So if you say to them, that Krishna is saying there, sarvarthan viparidamscha, suddenly they understood in the opposite way. And buddhisa partha tamasi. And that buddhi, Krishna is saying there, that it is tamasic buddhi. That is tamasic buddhi. This is happening all the time. You can see. They know very well, when they do it, that it is wrong. You see what happens in a life, early life you may have all this affection, feelings for the brothers, sisters and all that. But as you get older, and you have become another unit on your own, with your wife and your children and all that, then the attachment changes, what you had in the past. They don't care, oh, he was my brother at one time, he's not anymore my brother. That understanding goes away. That is all gone. Similarly, among the brothers, sisters, all relationships breaks up at that time. Isn't it? Everybody looks after themselves. And plus, in the married situation, the family members all exert influence there also. So it gets very complicated. Anyway, this happens. That's all I'm saying. And that is coming from tamogunam. That's coming from Tama buddhisa partha tamasi. That means we will make compromise in our own vyavaharam. We will start doing things which are not right, but circumstances forces us to act. And Krishna is saying that's where you have to be careful not to act in that way. Because if you do act in that way, then it will come back in another form. If you have fear of that, then you won't do that, such a thing. But people often do not care, do they? So, anyway, after saying this, Krishna is talking about dhruti. Next one, dhruti. After talking about buddhi, he is talking about dhruti. Again, like jnanam, like karma, like karta, like buddhi, under sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, dhruti also is under these three categories, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Dhruti means, we said, willpower. So, willpower in the Shastram, they call it as Ichashakti. Ichashakti partha, he says here. Let's look at that words. 33. Dhritya yaya dharayate. Manapranendriya kriyaha. Yogena vyabhijarinya. Dhritisa partha sattviki. Dhritya yaya dharayate. Manapranendriya kriya. Yogena avyabhijarinya. Dhritisa partha sattviki. So, adharmam. Yeah. Dhritya yaya dharayate. Manapranendriya kriya. Yogena avyabhijarinya. Dhritisa partha sattviki. O son of Pritha, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Determination in the mode of goodness. So, dhritya yaya dharayate. For example, a person whose willpower, everybody has some willpower, isn't it? But whose willpower is such that he has a control on his mind, control on his pranan, and control on his senses. Such a person, his dhruti or dharana shakti, is in sattvika mode. Is in the sattvika mode. Let me explain that a little better. See, for example, we are chanting the holy name. Most of you are chanting the holy name. Certain amount of time, isn't it? Always we are thinking, we are chanting. Is it not? We are chanting. I have to chant my rounds. I will say like that. I have to chant my rounds. Or it's a sadhana which you think you are doing it. Is it not? But if you have proper understanding, you would never make that statement. I have to chant my rounds. There you are the person who is chanting. But you know that you are not chanting. Actually, you are able to chant because Krishna has given you the strength to chant. The pranan, which is, without the help of pranan, you can't do anything here, is it not? Even to move the hand from here to here, you need the energy, pranan. Pranan has to work. It's a pranan that controls everything. Our movements, our karmam, our all actions, completely everything in the body is controlled by pranan. Dhruva Maharaj said this to Krishna. Yonda pravishyam anevajam imam prasuptam. Sanjeevaitagila Shakti Dharasadhamnam Anyamscha Hasta Charana Sharvanatvagadin Prananamo Bhagavade Purushayatubhyam. You will see Dhruvastuti begins with this first verse. Dhruva is saying to Krishna that I can't do anything. What can I do in this world? Yonda pravishya imamajam maam prasuptam. You have got inside me, and with your presence inside, everything is happening. That means pranam is not different from Krishna. Pranam is Krishna, is another form of Krishna, is pranam, presence of pranam inside. So being present inside as pranam, all actions we are able to perform in this world, is it not? So yanda pravishya imam mama vajam imam prasuptam sanjeevayati. Life itself in this world is dependent on the existence of pranam, operation of the pranam. Because of the presence of the pranam, anyamsha hasta charana shravana togadin, hands, legs are operating. Because of the pranam, I am able to do things with the hand. Because of the pranam, I am able to walk from one place to another. Because of pranam, I am able to hear. Because pranam operates the mind, pranam operates the senses as well. So any activity performed by the mind or senses is action by the pranam. There is no question about that. If pranam is not working properly, then you can't do anything. Knowing all these things, that pranam is operated by Krishna, Krishna is pranam, present in the body, how can I take any ownership of any karma, including chanting, upon me? If I am able to do that, if I am doing that, Krishna within the heart is prompting me to chant, allowing me to chant, and giving me the facility to chant, and the chanting happens. Not because of me there. It's because Krishna within the heart gave me the facility to chant, gives the energy to chant. He is giving the energy to chant. It's not my energy. That pranam is Krishna's pranam. So Krishna is giving you the energy, Krishna is giving you the intelligence to do the chanting, and Krishna allows you to do it, therefore it happens. It happens. But what do I say? I am chanting. So ahankaram takes ownership. So therefore, that itself is an indication that this tamasa rajasa buddhi is working inside. That's when it comes. Because normally those who are advanced in the spiritual life, they will never take ownership of any sadhana what they are doing in this world. They know that Krishna is allowing you to do that, so you are doing it. That is their realization. If Krishna is not doing that, it won't happen. Suppose Krishna is not allowing you to do that, it's not going to happen. You on your own can't do it. And that is explicitly spoken by Dhruva Maharaj to Krishna. Yonda pravishyam imaji maam prasuptam sanjeevaya tyagila shakti dhara swanamnam anyamsha hasta charana shravanam togadin pranan namo bhagavade purushayatubhyam. So here, similarly, if you know that it is a pranam that's operating, pranam and the mind is closely connected, and without pranam, senses cannot operate. So those who realizes that mind and the pranam and the senses, they are all operating under Krishna's influence, Krishna is the controlling factor in there, then his control of those things will be finer. He will have a proper way of doing things. And that thing, dhriti, that power, Krishna is saying here is satugunam. Satugunam. So, in order to get that, Vedam says that for control of the mind, pranam and senses, in order to get their action under control, there is the different yoga processes spoken. And one who has got them all together, mind, pranam and senses, and able to bring them together in achieving his goal in life, of self-realization, his dharana shakti is sattvigam, Krishna says. His dharana shakti is sattvigam. That is what he is saying here. Etad uktam bhavadi avyabhicharinya dhritya mana pranendriya dharyamana yogena dharayadi itiya evam lakshana dhritisa partha sattvigi. So, if one has control over one's own mind, pranam, senses, through yoga process, if he is able to control them, then his, Krishna says here, then his dhriti or dhairyam or ichha shakti is sattvigam. Is sattvigam. So let's understand that. So through yoga process, Krishna says here that partha, he says Arjuna, yogena, that means samadhi, through samadhi state, samadhinam, Samadhi, how
avyabhijarinya, Krishna says here, that yogena avyabhijarinya.
Avyabhijarinya means that where your determination and your decision is unwavering, it doesn't waver. If it's wavering, it's vyabhijarinya. If it does not waver, that means your decision is very determined and firm, irresolute decision that is. Avyabhijarinya. That means you're not allow your mind to go into things which are not conducive for spiritual life. Your restriction of your mind will wander around if you allow it to go in different place in this world, is it not? So not allowing the mind to wander around, but always bringing the mind towards the truth, to realize the truth, situated in the self. And that way, if a mind is controlled, pranam is controlled, senses are controlled, if it comes like that, that is the best willpower or best dhruti. That's the best dhruti. So, unfortunately, this is a misunderstood word, this willpower. Normally, what do we say? Suppose I have some strong desire and I'm working very hard to get it. Then I'll say, I got a lot of strong willpower. Sometimes people say, isn't it, that they want to buy a very modern car. I know that I need a lot of money. And so he decided to work hard for day and night to get that money, to buy that thing what he wants to buy. And when you see his enthusiasm to work hard day and night to make that amount of money, to buy it, that kind of determination, we will say it as willpower. But that's not willpower. That's not willpower. Willpower, it's willpower when we say in English willpower, I don't know, in English it may be okay, but it is not dhruti. Sattvika dhruti. Sattvika dhruti is only for this purpose, that everything what you do in this world, your mind, senses, pranam, all activities, it's all being brought together all the time to advance in the spiritual life, to realize the truth. In that case, his dhruti is sattvika. His dhruti is sattvika. So, for example, mind has got desires. I've got so many desires in me. Say, for example, I want to buy some nice clothes or a nice car or travel to various places in this world. So many desires. That's coming from all times. And these are all desires of the mind. And if I am able to transcend them, go beyond them, then that willpower is sattvika. Not that if I work hard and get it, that willpower is not sattvika. In English you may say that as willpower. But in Shastram you won't accept that as willpower. For example, desires are coming. So many desires will build up inside, especially in the youth, isn't it? Many, many desires will come. And to fulfill those desires, you are working very, very hard to fulfill all those desires. Krishna is saying here that if you manage to control those desires and able to go beyond them that, then that willpower is sattvayam. But if you work hard to get it and thinking that, oh, I had such a strong willpower to do it and get it, that's not sattvayam. See the subtle difference there, how it happens. We misunderstand willpower, isn't it? Willpower, of course, in English you can only take it like that. But Shastram, from sattvika dhruti, what Krishna is saying here, dhruti is willpower. But sattvayam, when it is sattvayam, it is like this. That you are able to control your mind, senses, prana and everything in such a way. And you are always alert and conscious of that. That any action what you perform in this world is only if it is conducive for spiritual life and spiritual advancement, you will do that. Otherwise you won't do it. If your mind and senses and prana and everything is supporting that and agreeable with that, then that dhruti inside is sattvayam. Is sattvayam. If you have material desires building up inside the mind, and to fulfill those desires, if you are working very hard to achieve that material desire, fulfill that is not dhruti in the sattvayam. That is dhruti in the rajasam. Dhruti in the rajasam. Dhruti in the sattvayam is, if when the desires are coming and invading, giving us a lot of motivation to go out and make it happen and work and get it, at that time, If you are able to control it and transcend that desire, get yourself free from that desire, then that dhriti is sattvikam. That dhriti is sattvikam. So whatever we think is nice and achieving that, that is not sattvikam, dhriti. So when such a desire comes, analyzing it inside, who is getting this desire, and asking that question, and avoid, and he will go away, then that person, you will know that who is desiring. Atma is not asking, is it? The self is not asking, it's coming from that false ego inside. He is demanding that. And that is what Krishna is saying here. When you inquire about him, who is making that desire, demand from inside, knowing that, Krishna is saying there, then you will escape from that desire, and then that is dhriti, sattvikam. Practically, what it is mind, prana and intelligence, everything is established in the atma, in self-realization. That is the best dhriti. Mana prana indriya kriyaha. See that second line? Dhritya yaya dharayate mana prana indriya kriyaha. Manasa pranan indriya kriyaha. So, once the stage has come, sattvika dhriti has come to a person, the activities of the prana in the body will have a proper rhythm. It will operate in a proper rhythm, and the mind will be peaceful. Shanti will be there in the mind. Because mind is controlled by prana. Prana and the mind are closely connected. So when prana influences the mind and mind becomes peaceful, then the prana also will be peaceful. You know this relationship with the mind and the prana. We know that very well, isn't it? It's not very difficult to find out. Understand that. As long as there is some anxiety in your mind, your heartbeat goes up, which shows that the prana's movement is getting a little bit unbalanced. Is it not? So, mind and the prana's relationship is well known. In the Shastram, they will always say this, that as long as there is some anxiety or tension builds up inside, the immediate effect is in the prana, the movement of the prana. So, similarly, you can see here that if the prana is in a stable level, which is moving freely inside, then you will notice that his mind will also be very peaceful. When will they become peaceful? Only when that his ahankaram or false ego inside, if it goes in and dissolves there, where it has come from, then it will be in shanti state. It will be in the shanti state. So that is the way that when we have, that is why this self-inquiry, this is for the Jnanamargam. Jnanamargam, through self-inquiry, all the time inquiring about it, who is experiencing this? That is the question. When mind gets disturbed, you have to ask who is getting disturbed. Constantly asking that question, you will notice that it is the ego that is getting hurt. Is it not? Ego is the one which is getting hurt. So that ego is a false thing. It's not the real I. It's a false I. So the false I will go and disappear inside from the place where it has come out. So when that happens, there will be shanti inside. So yoga means taking that false ego and getting it dissolved in the place where it was born, where it has taken birth. So pride or abhimanam, and when it goes and dissolves at the place where it is born, that is what is called yogam. That is what Krishna is saying there. Yogena avyabhicharinya, Krishna says there. Avyabhicharinya dhritisa partha sattvigi. For example, avyabhicharinya means that through yoga power, you are fixed in your resolve, in your decision. You don't allow your mind to go after other things in this world, because that will all come create vikalpam inside. When it creates vikalpam, the mind goes, what do they say? Mind goes completely in a haywire, isn't it? It gets confused, doesn't know what to do. Whereas, in spiritual life, Krishna is saying to us that you have to be one directional, one pointed towards one thing. What he mentioned before. Yeah. Vyasayalpiya buddhi. Vyasayalpiya buddhi is sattvigam. So here, if the mind is going in many branched way, bahushakha anandascha, many ways it is going in all directions, that buddhi cannot do the job properly. It won't help. And that will create disturbances inside. Shanti will go away from inside. So, and that is what is called vyabhijaranya. Avyabhijaranya means buddhi is not going, it's all fixed in the right direction, always fixed in that goal, what it is meant to be. So, most of the time, it happens when desires builds up inside. Pranam and senses, both of them starts movement. The pranam starts moving, as well as the senses also gets agitated due to desires inside. So, you have to remember here, the birth of the mind itself, when does the mind takes birth, is at the same time when we start recognizing the world, other objects in this world. That's when the mind takes a birth, isn't it? If there is only sadvastu, sattva existing, mind won't be there. Analpa vastu means world, everything in this world, then the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, these are all analpa vastu. When our shraddha falls in the analpa vastu, it is then that the mind takes birth. When shraddha goes away from the analpa vastu, then the mind disappears, it dissolves. Where is the proof? In the deep sleep state. You see? When our shraddha has gone away from the world, shraddha has gone away from this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. When we have come out of it, the mind also goes. That is the proof to show that the mind is born from Atma. Mind is born from Atma. There is no other explanation to the mind. The birth of the mind is from the self. Atma gives rise to the mind. So, whenever you are aware of other things apart from Atma, except Atma, presence of the soul, anything else if you become conscious of, that mind will be there at that time. Mind will be present there. If there is nothing else existing outside for you except Atma, then mind won't be there. So, in self-realization, this is what happens. You can see that when Parikshit Maharaj realized the truth at the last minute, when Shukha Brahmarshi spoke to him, what did he say? Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahmaham Param. Evam Samichan Atmanam Atmanyathaya Nishkale. At that time he is saying that only Atma is existing. That is his realization. Only Atma is existing, nothing else is existing, which means there is no mind operating anymore. Why we see the existence of this world like this? Why do we see the presence of so many individuals, different species, different living entities, all due to the presence of the mind? If the mind is not there, we won't experience the presence of so many people in this world. As far as we are concerned, only Atma exists. So that's an important message. As soon as you evam samikshan atmanam atmanyathaya nishkale, when he realized that there is only Atma everywhere, there is no mind anymore. Mind has gone from there. Because this power of sankalpam, that is the power of the mind. Mind makes the sankalpam. Mind develops that sankalpam. So that is why sankalpa vikalpam. Sankalpa vikalpam mana. That is the definition. The birth of mind is with sankalpam and vikalpam. Isn't it? So similarly, just like the mind is born like that, mind is a birth, it takes birth every day. And similarly, ahankaram also, false ego also. That because I wanted that ego to come, because I find some attachment to that ego, that's why ego is coming back. The ego, when you wake up, I've identified with the ego, and ego gets established there. And just like when we are born, or when we are waking up in the morning, if I want to see something, then I become the eye. I become the eye. Because I want to hear something, I become the ear. I become the ear. Similarly, if I wanted to smell something, I become the nose. I become the... And similarly, I wanted to taste something, and therefore I became the tongue. And if I wanted to touch and feel something, so I become the skin. I become the skin. You see how my identity is changing every moment? In every moment in our life, we are not always, when we will say, generally we will say, I'm this body. But really, where are you? Every time any sense is operating, you have become that sense. Your consciousness has gone in that way. Suppose I want to touch this and feel it, what it's like. My whole awareness goes through me into the skin and feel that through the sense of touch. Similarly, seeing something or hearing something, smelling something, tasting something, through every sense, that is what is. Similarly, all the senses of knowledge operates like this. That my identity as awareness inside me, consciousness, goes and becomes that. Is it not? Do you understand what I'm saying? Suppose I want to lift something. My karmendriyam is in the hand, isn't it? So what do? I become that sense of action, of lifting something. If I want to walk, my identity goes with the leg. I'm moving then. So Alma inside goes with every different sense when it wants to operate through that sense. It takes that identity, goes away. And similarly, when Alma wants to know the things in this world and wants to identify with the different objects in this world, it becomes the mind. This is why we say mind, senses, ego, everything comes from Alma. Everything comes from Alma. From body comes from the mind. Body doesn't come from the Alma. Body comes from the mind. Because mind is the cause of the body. But mind is coming from Alma. Do you see how it works? The logic, Krishna's logic is like that. This is all in the Upanishads. You can read it anywhere. Say that how you have become that. You are a limited small unit inside, which you can not limited, not in the realized state, it is unlimited. But that consciousness inside follows every sense when it wants to operate through that sense. You see? Suppose we want to see something. What happens? My consciousness inside, awareness inside, is all, leaves everything else and goes through the eye to the world so that I can see. It's the window for that eye. Similarly, all senses of knowledge, ear. If I want to hear something, all my Shraddha Shakti, all my power, consciousness, everything comes through the ear and I am able to hear. All the attention is in the ear at that time. His presence is in the ear at that time. Similarly for tasting. When I am eating food, all my attention is on the food so that I can experience the taste. How does that happen? Because our awareness, consciousness comes at that time in the tongue and experiences that way. Similarly, all the knowledge acquiring senses of knowledge works like that. Equally, all the senses of action also operates in the same way. All the senses of action also. If I want to move somewhere, then I have to walk there, then my legs gets all the attention from Atma inside and gives the approval and legs can walk then. Similarly, if the Atma gives the approval, the hand can lift something or move something or do whatever I want to do with my hand. Atma comes and support, gives that support. So every second, in every action, in every thought, Atma is always present in all the actions. And all of them are getting their power from Atma. From Atma. Similarly, the mind also, what Krishna is saying here is, the power of this mind, which has come from Atma, able to create Sankalpa Vikalpam inside, due to the association with the world, is something that happens in the process of our existence here. While existing here. All these things happens when you can see when you wake up in the morning. In the deep sleep state, senses have gone, mind is gone, intelligence is gone, ego has gone, and the body has gone. You are, at that time, where are you? In the Sushupti, you are not in touch with any of these things. You have gone into another place. Sushupti. When you wake up in the morning, one after the other, all of them comes back to us. You have left them somewhere. That is all Atma's special power. How Atma controls the whole existence here. When he wakes up in the morning, he calls them back all to come back. And they are already there to listen to him. And then in that process, mind comes. So mind also, like the senses, only comes at that time. Equally, false ego also, ahankara, only comes at that time when it is called for. In the Jagrat and the Swapnam, it's only in the two states these exist, isn't it? All these. We have to analyze these three states very well. Then you will know how independent Atma is. He is the real decision maker. He is the one, what they say, who calls the shots, isn't it? He makes the decision everything, every time. We don't know that. We don't know him because we don't know him. We think we are making the decision. No, we are not making it. He is making the decision. And that is why Dhruva Maharaj said that Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravana Tugadin Pranayan, including Pranayan, Namo Bhagavade Purushaya Tubhyam, that if you are not there, what Pranayan can do? Where is Pranayan then? Even Pranayan is working under his direction, Atma's direction. So just like Atma, and for doing this, Atma doesn't require anybody's help for that. By its own power it can do that, and it is with its own power it has become 10 senses. 5 knowledge senses, 5 senses of knowledge, and 5 senses of action. It has become on its own. Atma has become like that. And similarly, if you don't engage in sangalpa vigalpam, that means thought waves, don't develop inside. Instead, the mind has become Atmanishtam. That means this power, special power called mind, which has come from Atma, if it has got established in the self, Atmanishtam, it's established in the self, then what will happen is, along with the mind, the senses also has to follow. There's no choice there. The mind and the senses are connected. If the mind, because this is the way it is created, we are created like that. If the mind leaves everything and goes and establishes in the Atma, then senses don't have the freedom to do things what it wants. Because they are all his assistants, mind's assistants. So mind is a power that has come from Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is the right word to use. Atma's, you remember we talked about this many times, Sata, Chitta, Anandam. What those three things are, is it not? You know that, what that means, isn't it? Sata means eternity. My awareness all the time that I will always exist, which never leaves me, is it not? Eternity. Eternal blissful knowledge, that's how we translate that, isn't it? So eternity is that aspect that nobody is able to take it away from me, that I live forever. My body may not live forever, but me, awareness, lives forever. Even while leaving the body, I go to another body, but I am there. You won't be able to get rid of that from me, eternity. That is Sat. Chit is that thing, knowledge. Knowledge means, it is through that Chit Shakti, I get to know everything else in this world. Able to know things well. Knowledge, in other words. Chit Shakti is the knowledge. We say full of knowledge means that knowledge is so perfect that if that knowledge is not there, I won't know who's anything else in this world. Because, for example, I'm sitting here, I'm aware of everybody else sitting in this room. Is it not? Where is that awareness coming from? Chit Shakti. That's coming from Chit Shakti. So that is the other aspect of, it is from this Chit Shakti, this mind is born. Mind is born. Because mind is one of the aspects of this acquiring knowledge in this world. So So one whose mind, one whose say for example, that chit shakti, if that chit shakti, if you have gone and touched the chit shakti, that means the mind is gone then. In that case, all the vyavaharam what he does in this world is direct action from the chit shakti rather than the mind. Mind is a special force that's come out of chit shakti and operating independently. But therefore, but when chit shakti directly operates in this world, like in the case of realized personalities, jnanis, where their chit shakti is operating completely independent without giving rise to the birth of a mind. There's no mind born in them. In that situation, what will happen is, mind is no more existing any for them. All the prana is under complete control and the senses are under control. All the activities of the prana, the mind, and prana, the senses, and everything is completely established in the Atma, that means in the Chit Shakti, that Bhavasthiti, they call it, or Surubasthiti, or one's own identity, where one is established like that. Krishna is saying here, Dhritisa Partha Sattviki. See that word? Dhritya Yaya Dharayate Mana Pranendriya Kriyaha Yogena Vyabhijarinya Dhritisa Partha Sattviki. See, Sattvagunam, what it does to us? It changes everything. Sattvagunam, Dhriti changes, Buddhi changes, Jnanam changes, Karmam changes, Karta changes. Everything changes in Sattvagunam. Everything you will see, if you look, study this chapter, 18th chapter, you will understand what spiritual life means. This is when you understand what spiritual life means, is it not? That these things are present in somebody in the Sattvagunam, then you can say that he is progressing in spiritual path. It's no point in just sitting and saying all some stories here and there without saying what Krishna is talking to us. Very serious topic in the Bhagavad Gita, that too, the 18th chapter. Such an important chapter. And there he is saying to us that, Arjuna, by your willpower, what you have to do is that not use that willpower to win a battle or to get something done in this world or to conquer other countries or to beat up somebody or to do something, achieve something in this world outside. Krishna is saying dhriti or willpower is not meant for that. Is not meant for that. Instead he is saying here that what you have to do is that Krishna says, with this willpower, what you have to do is, all this world, what exists outside, and all your experiences from this world means external world, and all your experiences means your mind. If you are able to get this mind and all the rest of the world, bring it over and dissolve it in yourself. In self. In other words, completely getting established in the self instead of getting established in the world or established in the mind. If that happens and if you utilize your willpower for that purpose, then that is sattvikam. See the difference? Willpower is there in everybody, different degrees. And we, for example, sometimes we say, what is that called? New Year resolution. Isn't it? Giving up smoking. But there is no goal there. The goal is only to save money for cigarettes, whatever you are spending. Or either his health is getting in trouble, doctors have told him. And it is on the cigarette packet also. Isn't it? Injurious to health. And very damaging and all that. And then he still goes and buys it very happily. So you can see that is not willpower. That is willpower, but not in the mode of goodness. Dhritisa Partha Sattviki, Krishna. So Sattviki willpower is different than the Rajasic willpower, isn't it? Sattviki willpower is that even if you give up cigarettes, to think that because it's conducive for my spiritual realization, I am withdrawing from smoking for that reason. But who gives up smoking for self-realization? Have you heard anybody giving up smoking for self-realization? But some people put it to you in a different way. They tell you, oh, it's the four regulative principles you have to follow. So if you say like that, oh, right, okay, it's one of the rules written, or another commandment in the book, so I'll accept it that way. But that's not good enough. It has to be ultimately self-realization, and because that, my energy will be wasted in that process. Therefore, I have to make sure that that activity is not conducive for my, to control my mind and senses, for this purpose, that it gets established in the self, in self-realization process. Therefore, I have to give up that. Same thing with alcohol, same thing with everything else in this world, any other activity in this world, Krishna, that's what Krishna is saying here, that all your sense gratification, all your attachment to this world, all your attachment to the mind, if you bring them all together and dissolve in the process of self-realization, in Atma, in the self, then that dhriti, that willpower is satyagam. It's satyagam. Not that otherwise I give it up for New Year to please some people, and then January is gone, February you're back again into the same old. That's not even called willpower. Sometimes people talk like that, is it not? They say, oh, I don't have such a strong willpower, they say. And then they start again. Then the December comes again, they go back into the same thing. So Krishna is saying here is that, so if it is like that, the important thing is, if the dhriti is sattvikam, then all the other process inside us will develop sattvagunam. That's another interesting thing. What Krishna is saying here is that if the willpower is sattvikam, if the willpower is sattvikam, all other processes goes on inside us. Is it not? There's so many things going on inside us, in our mind, in our intelligence, in our senses. If the willpower is in the sattvika mood, all the processes that's going on inside our mind, brain, intelligence, senses, everything will also be in sattvagunam. Will also be in sattvagunam. Because generally, everything what we do here in this world, while we are operating in this world, in the field, or in the world in Vyoharam, there will be sattvagunam, there will be rajogunam, there will be tamogunam in every one of us, is it not? So, similarly, karmam, karta, jnanam, will everything will be under these three modes, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. So, depending on which plane of consciousness you are, it will change. Depending on the plane of consciousness. Suppose that is what the relationship is. Suppose you are in the sattvagunam, your willpower is will be in sattvagunam. Your knowledge will be in sattvagunam. Your karma will be in sattvagunam. Your karta will be in sattvagunam. Everything will be in sattvagunam. Therefore, Krishna says here that it will work in that way. It will work in that way. So, just like, suppose you are making a decision in life about anything. If all these things are in sattvagunam, what we have spoken about, which one? Jnanam, karta, karmam, dhriti, buddhi. If all of them are in sattvagunam, and you will make a decision in sattvagunam. If you make a decision, it will come in sattvagunam. So, they also give you an example like this, that the sattvagunam's impact, Krishna is talking about here. That, remember, when we started this chapter, something Krishna spoke to us. Remember? What was that? No, he was saying there, let me look at that verse. Before we started talking about the gunam, he said something that very early, third, fourth, eh? One second. Yeah. Yeah. He told us in the fifth verse, Yajna dana tapakarmam natyajam karyamevayat. Yajna danam tapascheiva pavanani manishina. Pavanani manishina. And he kept describing this to us that about tyagam, sannyasam, so many things he told us, isn't it? So, where you could understand that sannyasam and tyagam can only happen if you are completely released from the modes of nature. Otherwise it is very difficult, isn't it? So, this is it, 13th verse. He told us that panjaidani mahabaho karanani nibodhame sanghe kridane proktani siddhaye sarvakarmanam. Five things, causes of accomplishment of all actions. Now learn of these from me. Five things he spoke from there. Is it not? So, a place of action, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors Krishna mentions. And it is after that we started discussing these different things. Jnanam, karmam, karta, buddhi, dhriti. What we have discussed so far. So if all these things are in the sattvagunam, then these five factors, what Krishna has spoken about, that panjaidani mahabaho, that performer, ultimate superstar, these are the five factors that influence the action. So if the five factors, which means jnanam, karmam, karta, buddhi, dhriti, if these are in sattvagunam, if it is operating in sattvagunam, when you make a decision, it will be in sattvagunam. It will be in sattvagunam. For example, suppose you are in pure goodness. Pure goodness, sattvagunam. If you are listening to this, what we are now discussing, then you will understand exactly the way what I have spoken here from the Bhagavad Gita. Has spoken here. But if you are in the rajogunam, you will understand the way you want to understand. That's the power of rajogunam. See how gunam works. And if you are in tamogunam, none of which will get inside. You won't understand. You will say, oh, he's saying something. Who knows what he's saying? It's like that. You will leave it behind. Everything will be gone. So, that is that. See how sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam makes a difference. Suppose you are in sattvagunam, whatever we have spoken from this Bhagavad Gita now, in these verses, you will capture it in the proper way. If it is in the rajogunam, you will understand it in whichever way you want to understand. You will give an interpretation, mind will interpret from inside, if there is rajogunam inside. That's what happens. It will interpret things inside. And you will understand things in its own way, and you will go home in that way. And if it is the tamogunam, nothing will go inside, and you will you won't understand anything, and you will say, he is saying something, whatever he likes, and you will go home in that way. So even in shravanam, in hearing process, this difference is there, isn't it? You cannot never understand everything as it is spoken, as it is spoken. So you will be only able to capture it how your own gunam influences you. How your gunam influences you, in that way you will hear. In that way you will hear. This you will understand, because I'll tell you why. Sometimes, I have noticed also this. I have said something and somebody has understood in another way. And then he says to me, you remember you told this in the class? I said, what did I say? He says, oh, you tell, like, he has got it completely in a different way. And I was thinking, I didn't say this. Then I started getting doubt. Did I say that? So that is why what I do is, every class, whatever Naveen has put on the web, I download and keep it. So that I want to make sure that I haven't said something which somebody else comes in, so that I can be sure that I haven't said that. So many times I had this experience. He says, you said this in the class, he said. Somebody says, I haven't said that. And I didn't mean it. That's what I would say. I put it like that. He has understood it that way. That's the problem. I won't say that I didn't say that. I did say something, But he has understood it in a different way. So many times I had this problem. And then later on, because sometimes you don't remember everything what you have said 10 years ago, do you? You can't remember what you have said. So only for that reason I stalk it. Only for that purpose. Because I do need to know what I have said. So otherwise people will say so many things and I'll say to them. So because if you have the class recorded there, then I can say at least I go back and check it out. First of all, I ask them which class, which they won't remember that. They'll say, you said this, I can't remember when you said that. He says, so what do I do then? So then I have to sit and think. If it was something recent times, I will remember. But something that's spoken 5 years or 10 years back, I can't remember today, can I? So and that is a problem. So that is what Krishna is saying also here. We must accept our weakness in this. That I'm saying something, you will understand in one way, whichever way, based on the gunam, will influence your understanding also. And you will accept it that way, and that will be your understanding for the future. Similarly, when you read the book also, when you read, that is, Prabhupada also had a lot of problems like this. People read Prabhupada's books and they've gone and done things, and saying that Prabhupada said this in the book. They've gone and murdered people on this basis, on the basis of Prabhupada's books. They say that, look, you've got some bad karma, I have to get you transmigrated into another body. They used all the words on the Bhagavad Gita and they killed the person. So what to do? What? Can you blame Prabhupada for that? Prabhupada said that transmigration of the soul. So they heard all these things. So they found somebody whom they thought was not doing right thing in the spiritual life. They felt it strongly. So the leader and the group, they decided that we have to get rid of him from here, because he is not properly situated in spiritual life. So they told him one day that we have to get you transmigrated into another body. This body is not suitable for you, because you are doing all this nonsense, according to them, and they killed him. They killed him. So that is the problem. According to the gunam, we will understand. That is why Krishna is saying, only in sattva gunam, whatever knowledge is there, that's of some use. Whatever we have got it in Rajogunam and Tamogunam is all useless. Instead, it will create more harm and damage to us later. So it's 5 o'clock. We'll have a break.
Janam Vavamaha Davagni Nirvavanam Shreya Kaitava Chandriga Vidaranam Vidhyavadu Jeevanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pradipada Purnamrita Swadanam Sarvapna Subhanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Magari Bahudanija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eda Drashita Vakrava Bhagavan Mamavi Dudeva Me Drashamiha Janina Nuragaham Tranarabi Shuni Jena Tarorami Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Hajagadisha Kamayim Amajanmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahe Dugitui Ahi Nandadanu Chakingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavambudam Kripaya Tava Pada Pankajastida Duli Sadrasham Vishindayam Nayanam Galadashudharaya Padanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagayar Nijidam Kadavabu Tavanmamagrahane Bhavishyadim Yugaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Ashleshyavapadaradam Finishtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karotuva Yatha Tadava Vidada Dilambano Malpranamatha Stunayevana Pera.
So, what we are talking about here, that in the dritya
ధృత్యాయయా ధారయతే మన ప్రాణేంద్రియ క్రియ యోగేన అవ్యభిచారణ్య ధృధి
సా పార్థ సాత్వికి.
దట్స్ వాట్ వాట్ యు ఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఇసన్ ఇట్. సో యాస్ ఐ సెడ్ బిఫోర్ దట్ దీస్ త్రీ గుణం వాట్ ఈస్ ఇన్సైడ్ అస్
హౌ దే ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ అస్ అకార్డింగ్లీ యూ విల్ అండర్స్టాండ్. ఈవెన్ దేర్ యూ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ అ ఫ్రీడమ్. దిస్ ఇస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ పాయింట్. We say freedom, freedom, freedom. What freedom have we got? Practically there is no freedom in anything. Even in understanding things, we don't have the freedom. Because these three gunam which is inside us, all of us, they are the interpreters. They interpret the what you hear and feed it to you. And you will act on that basis, isn't it? So, whatever that gunam is telling us, we will keep listening to that. You are hearing so many things. But then the gunam will interpret it in one way and put it to you. And you will keep hearing that, isn't it? So, when all that gunam has gone away from inside, then that yoga, what you are practicing, becomes what Krishna says, avyabhicharini. See that word there? Yogena avyabhicharinya. Avyabhicharinya. That is when it becomes avyabhicharinya. When the yogam becomes avyabhicharinya, when the modes have gone away from inside. Gone away from inside. So, that means at that time, it is a kind of state of samadhi state that is. And that is that samadhi, he says there, Dhritisa partha sattvigi yogena avyabhicharinya. So, in that situation, that dhriti, what is inside, sattvigya dhriti, that will condense itself. Dhriti is there in everybody. But in this situation, what will happen is, if the modes of nature has gone away from inside, then that dhriti that person has will completely develop in the form of a self-expression. Self-expression means in the sense that the it will only identify with the presence of Atma inside. It won't identify with the body anymore. It will release, gets itself free from the identification with the body, identification with the world, identification with the mind. In other words, his this dhriti, what external will, what we have, is an expression of that Atma inside, like mind. Like the mind is expressed, it is an expression of the Atma in the form of mind. It's expression of the Atma in the form of senses. All of these are expressions of the Atma inside. Atma is the key factor inside all these things. This Atma is expressing itself in different forms. In the world, it expresses in the form of senses. In another level, it expresses in the form of mind. Another level, it expresses in the form of intelligence. Another level, it expresses in the form of willpower, dhriti. So, this external will, it expresses in the form of will outside now, which we call it as willpower, that gets merged, condensed, and it goes away back into Atma again. Like the mind goes away, this dhriti, willpower also goes away. And that is, Krishna calls it as sattvika dhriti. And when does that happen? Yogena avyabhicharena. It's all very subtle things what Krishna is talking about. It's easy to talk about all these things, but when it happens, you will know what it means. Otherwise, you won't know it. You can explain it in various ways, make it easier to understand with the mind. But only when it happens in us, then you will know what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, you won't know it. Only when it happens. So, what Krishna's point is that, like the mind, today if I say to somebody that, look, the mind will disappear, they will wonder how mind goes away. Without a mind, how can you live in this world? That will be the answer. That's a jnanam. There are many realized souls without mind living in this world. Is it not? So mind is not necessary. You don't need a mind to live here. That's a misunderstanding. Similarly, this willpower also. If you say to them that you will lose all your willpower at that time. Why? Willpower has gone and condensed itself into Atma, like the way it came out. It's gone back to its position and dissolved itself there. And it's happening every day. But they won't accept that. Every night when you go to deep sleep, what happens? Where is your willpower? Is it not? There it goes and condenses itself. Mind goes and dissolves itself. Senses goes away. Body goes away. Intelligence goes away. And you are where you are, in your state of Atma. And at that time, you are not talking about, you are not complaining about that. But if somebody tells you now, in the vacant state, that you are going to lose your mind, your willpower, everything, then you get disturbed. But why are you not getting disturbed when it happens in the deep sleep? Because material nature is so clever, she does these things in such a way that she will make sure that you cannot complain. In such a way she puts you to all these situations, isn't it? So, therefore, important point here is that if you have some willpower, it should be used for self-realization, not for anything else. Not for anything else. And acquiring knowledge of the self. Similarly, with that willpower, using means that using that for this purpose, for what? To keep the senses, pranam, and everything, all of them, you have to keep them under a certain rhythm, in a certain level, so that they don't cause problems in your progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, suppose you give the freedom to the mind and the senses, what will they do? They will drag you everywhere, would they not? They will drag you everywhere. Enjoy this, enjoy that. So many ideas they will throw at you. And similarly, the tongue, you remember in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says this, isn't it? He talks about the how different, like different senses, how they pull you in different directions to enjoy. Yeah, each one of them are saying. And so that's what it will be. And plus the mind and plus the willpower also. All that thing goes in the wrong way, completely wasted in that way. Krishna is saying here that everything should be in such a rhythm, in a rhythm way, it should work, that pranam should not be wasted for purposes if it's not helping self-realization. Similarly, all the senses should be tuned, fine-tuned in such a way, it helps the self-realization process. Similarly, mind, similarly intelligence, everything. If it all happens in that way, his dhriti will be sattvigi. Dhriti will be sattvigi. Pranan means, you have to understand this pranan very well. Pranan is not only breathing. It's not only breathing. Pranan is the force that is digesting the food. Pachanam is done by the pranan. And pranan is the force that throw away all the waste from the body. Pranan does that. Pranan is the one which keeps the circulation of the blood. The body. All activities, what is going on inside this body is nothing but prana. Power of the prana. Isn't it? Aho Vaishwanara, he is called Vaishwanara at that time. Aham Vaishwanara Bhutta Praninam Deham Ashvida. Prana Bhana Samayita Pajamyanam Chaturvida. He digests the food and he extracts the power, energy from that so that he can carry on doing things. Pranan takes the power from the food. From the food. And that pranan is directly responsible for the mind as well. The state of mind depends on that pranan. If you starve yourself, remember I mentioned this example before, a student went to his spiritual master to study Vedam. So 10-12 days he taught him Vedam and then told him to fast. He fasted for some time and he couldn't remember anything. So food's connection with the memory. And everything he has forgotten. Then he gave him food to eat. And then everything started coming back again. So you can understand in a subtle level how the food is connected with the pranam and the memory, everything. So all activities in the body, whether it is activities of the intelligence, memory, and mind, senses, external activities, as well as the internal activities in the body, like the blood circulation, digestion, and breathing and removing the waste from the body. Wherever you look, pranan has a hand there in that. And therefore, generally, they will refer to pranan as five kinds of pranan. Vyanan, apanan, samanan, udanan, pranan, like that. Pranabhanam, the five kinds of pranan. And then to assist them, there is upapranan. Five upapranan work functions there. So, these things are reality. There is nothing we can say about that. And all this, where is it coming from? From Atma. Atma is the source. Atma is present there, pranan will be there. Atma leaves, there will be no pranan. Even if you are very good at pranayamam, if Atma goes away, pranan is gone. So Atma is the most important thing. Atma, when he is present there, pranan is there, mind is there, intelligence is there, ego is there, senses are there, body is there, and all these activities are there. The moment Atma withdraws, all of them come to a dead stop. Dead stop. Nothing works after that. So the importance is Atma. Importance is Atma. So the different activities of the Vyana Sarvashariraha. So these pranan, which is present all over the body, they also have to become pure. Pranan's movement in the body. So prana vyana vyana udana samaname shuddhyana jyotiraham viraja apatma bhoyam. So in the Vedam there is prayers that all these different airs in the body, let them all become pure. Let them all become pure. In the deity worship chapter, when we discuss, that is the 27th chapter in the 11th canto, Kriya Yogam, how much the best pujaris in this world, they are dependent on pranayama. Otherwise they couldn't do the puja. Deity worship is not possible without that. Because in order to do proper deity worship, your mind should be under control. Suppose I am sitting in front of the deity. Everything has been arranged there. If my mind is in the football match, oh, and I am making the offering there, it's an offense, isn't it? It's an offense in sitting in front of the deity. You will know, you have to see people doing the deity worship properly. Only then you will know it, how much they spend time in pranayama. Because pranayama is a very powerful force to do everything. Not only to control the mind, even the control of the body. Because body, because of our eating habits, sleeping habits and all that, body has a lot of impurities inside. And in front of the deity, such things should not happen. That we should be in a controlled way, able to sit there, control the mind, control the body. So, and be able to sit there for hours together while doing the worship. Because when you are making certain deity worship, when it is done in detail, in Kriya Yogam, this will all come. Krishna will talk about this. When you want to do it in detail, proper deity worship, very experienced persons, when they do that, hours and hours they need. Vaidikam, Tandriyam and the Mishram, all the three ways they do that. And that means total control on everything, body, mind, and senses and ego, everything should be under total control. So that when you are chanting the Vedic hymns or when you are offering different offerings to the deity, you are in tune with the deity there whom you are worshipping. You can't be a total materialist person sitting there doing in your material consciousness deity worship. That won't work. Krishna will tolerate anything because he's like that. Whatever you do, you'll tolerate that. But proper, those who have reached very higher levels of deity worship, there were people like that. They have reached such higher state in deity worship that you will notice that throughout their life, pranayamam was a part of their life. Why? Because pranayamam is that in the extreme subtle level, that means if you are extreme subtle level, if the buddhi has become pure, then the mind will also be pure. And if the mind is pure, that pranan will also be pure. Pranan will also be pure. So pranan purification is necessary. They know about that. They know the interaction between pranan, mind and the intelligence. This is all there in the books. It's not anything new. The yoga system, Patanjali's yoga system, Ashtanga Yogam, they talk about it. In the deity worship process, Kriya Yogam, Krishna has taken that also from the Patanjali system. So, therefore, inside us, in a very subtle level, Sushma Dhalam, if Buddhi becomes very pure, the mind will also be very pure. And the mind is pure, prana will also be very pure. Because they are connected to each other. So, for example, those who have that deep realizations of all this, the value of all this, and properly educated and trained in that way, and had that good vasana inside before, when they chant the holy name, if you keep on chanting, many of them, they were experts in chanting the holy name as well. That means while they are not doing the deity worship, to keep their purity, they will chant the holy name. And when they chant the holy name will go and get dissolves in the prana. Holy name purifies the prana. Holy name has got the potency to purify the prana inside. So it will go and dissolve in the prana, the holy name. Prana will go and dissolve in the mind, and it will all dissolve in the intelligence. In a subtle level, all these things are happening. It's very difficult to prove it to anybody, any of these things. Only those who knows this yoga system properly, they know this, because they are in that subtle level, they can understand things. That buddhi, manasa, prana, all these three things can be purified by chanting the holy name. Holy name will go and purify all these things on its own. It can do that. So that is why they call it Shabda Brahma. Shabda Brahma means that. Remember, in the Bhagavadam, if you look into the sixth canto, there talks about that. Who says this? Balram. Lord Balram says this to Chitrakedu. Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamobhe Shashwadi Tanu. I have two different forms, he says. Two different forms I have. One is Parabrahma, and the other one is Shabda Brahma. That Parabrahmam is what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita when we say Parabrahmam, isn't it? So, Shabda Brahmam. Shabda Brahmam means prana becomes purified, mind becomes purified, the body becomes purified, and everything becomes purified. Suppose we are talking about holy name. What does holy name mean? Holy name means, so, suppose you are Krishna conscious, right? Suppose you are Krishna conscious. The expression of your Krishna consciousness is the holy name. It's coming out in the form of name. There is Krishna consciousness in a person. That Krishna consciousness in him, it is a recognition of Krishna's presence inside, Antaryami inside, is present there. So, that bhavam or awareness inside, that Krishna is present inside, its external expression is the holy name. It comes out in the form of Vaikari. That is why it is called holy name. We chant the holy name. So holy name, when it is expressed as the holy name outside, it is nothing but expression of that bhavam, Bhagavad bhavam inside. Remember that word, Bhagavad bhavam? Bhagavad bhavam, remember? It says, who says that? Bhagavad bhavam almana. Sarva bhudeshu yapashyen Bhagavad bhavam almana. That Bhagavad bhavam. That Krishna is inside. If you keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, after a long time, you will also accept that Krishna is inside. Initially, you won't accept it. Initially, you will say, Krishna is somewhere, he lives in Vrindavan or somewhere, Dwaraka or Mathura or in Manor. But not in me, I have nothing to do with him. That will be the attitude. But as you keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, what does it do? It makes you conscious all the time that Krishna is inside. Krishna is full awareness of that. And that awareness, when it builds up inside and comes out in the form of a expression, and that is the holy name. The awareness inside. That is why very advanced devotees, you will see, you don't have to tell them to chant. They will chant. When they are walking, they will chant. When they are even sleeping, while they are sleeping, they will chant. In the sleep, they will be chanting inside. Because they know that it is expressing from within, that bhavam, consciousness inside. So suppose you say, Hari Maharshi says this in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? I think so. Hari Maharshi says that. That's why the word Hari is used there. So you will see every name in the Bhagavatam will have something to do with what he is saying. That is another beauty of Bhagavatam. Every name, if you look, so many different names there, isn't it? And who said this? Gopi said this to Akrura. Akruran, your name, but your activity is not like an Akrura, they said to him. You are the most cruel person. And then they told him that, look, we are going to change your name, they said to him. Atikrura. He said, your parents made a mistake when they gave you this name. Remember why gopis are protesting, don't you? That Akrura is the one who came and took Krishna away from Vrindavanam. And that morning, Yashoda Devi bathed Krishna very well and fed him. Never knew that he was not going to come back again. Imagine a mother's feeling inside. And she hands over these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, who are 5 or 6 years old. 5 years old, I think. She was handing them over to Akrura. Akrura knew that they won't be coming back. And he hasn't said one word. Yashoda Devi thought that they will go and see the festival in Vrindavan Mathura and they will come back after that. Can you imagine what Akrura was feeling inside at that time, to take the two children away from the mother like that? So at that time, gopis were also protesting. They were feeling the separation from Krishna. So there is a few verses in the Bhagavatam you will see there, what gopis said to Akrura for taking Krishna and Balaram away from there. So they are analyzing Akrura's name there. And they are saying to him, there's somewhere something gone wrong, they say. If your parents have given you this name, this is an unusual name, this Akrura, isn't it? It's not a normal name. So they say to him, who gave you this name? They are asking all these questions, gopis are asking. Either there's somewhere something wrong, you got a name as Akrura, but you are the most cruel person to do this, to take Krishna and Balaram away from here like this. Then one of the gopis says, no, the mistake is this, that they forgot to leave one letter in the middle. Atikrura he is. All these gopis are discussing mutually about Akrura. So it is similarly, you can see in everything in the Bhagavatam, you will see a connection between the message that's coming from that particular pastime and the person who has involved in that. Hari, the word itself is, Hari means that that before you say the word Hari, the mood is inside of the word Hari. Hari means that is Krishna's Surupam, isn't it? One who takes away everything. One who takes away everything. So Hari is the word we externally speak. But behind that, we say that word Hari, inside you have a mood about that word Hari, what that Hari represents. Isn't it? That is why Krishna is saying here, if you don't have that mood behind that, you won't have the benefit. There won't be any shanti inside. So, nacha bhavayadu shandir. Krishna said this. Remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken very explicitly. While chanting the holy name, or any activity if you do in spiritual life, if the bhavam is not there, there won't be any shanti from that. If you look into the second chapter, you will see. Naja bhavayato shandir ashandasya kutasukham. That verse. 266. Krishna is saying, Naja bhavayato shandir. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya. Naja yuktasya bhavana. Naja bhavayata shandir ashandasya kutasukham. Bhavam inside. Naja bhavayata shandir. If the bhavam is not there, there will be no shanti. You won't derive any benefit. Similarly, while chanting the holy name, also you need that bhavam inside. Otherwise, you won't have the shanti inside. So, nasti buddhir ayuktasya, na jayuktasya bhavana, na ja bhavayada shandir, ashandasya kutasukham. Prabhupada translates here is, one who is not connected with the Supreme can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can be any happiness without peace? So, this connected with the Supreme means what? This bhava. inside. That is that connection, the bhavam inside. That your bhavam is more important. That is why, remember all those words what Krishna says to us, that my asakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya. Madashraya is important there. That depending on Krishna, execute spiritual sadhana. Then it will have the bhavam. Because you are dependent on Krishna. Every moment, always fully conscious and aware that it is Krishna's presence that's helping me to engage in sadhana. It is due to Krishna's presence that some spiritual activity is happening through this body. Otherwise, if Krishna is not sanctioned, it won't happen. It will not happen. Some prarabdham will come and block it. That's why sometimes you can see the effect of prarabdham and there is no bhavam inside and then you suffer. So every time when something is happening in spiritual life, some activity, sadhana or any kind of spiritual activity, you have to remember that at that time from inside Antaryami is clearing the way. He's clearing the way. So bhavam, what we are talking about bhavam. Nacha bhavayado shandir ashandasya kuta sukham, he says. Where is sukham if there is no bhavam? There is no shandi. So that bhavam inside is called bhakti. Bhakti is very difficult to understand, isn't it? We understand bhakti in the form of karma. That's the problem. We do a lot of work here and there, running around and thinking that it's all bhakti. No, bhakti is, expression of bhakti is this bhavam. Bhavam inside. So, and if that bhakti is inside, then the holy name will come from inside. And so, some people in some places, in some cases, this chanting the holy name will go away from their bhavamandalam. You see bhavamandalam? Bhavamandalam like manomandalam. In the platform of the mind, similarly this is the platform of our bhavam. So, just like you can see some people find it difficult to chant. They find it difficult. They feel a little bit shyness to chant, isn't it? But, and they will find it difficult to express it. But inside them, they have that bhavam inside. But externally, they will not show that. So when the holy name is coming out from the mouth, from the lips, at that time, it is turned into language then. Words. Bhashalmagam, it is called. So it becomes a language or an expression when it becomes a holy name, when it comes out. And when it is in the bhava mandalam, it is called madhyama. Remember that four levels. Parapashyanti madhyama vaikari, isn't it? When it has come in the form of holy name through the lips outside, it has become vaikari. When it remains inside in the bhava mandalam, it is called madhyama. It is called madhyama. And when it is, at that time, it has no language. It has no language, is it not? When it is an experience inside the holy name. So when it is in the para stage, there is no language. When it is in the pashyanti stage, no language. Madhyama stage, no language. Vaikari stage, it has taken a language. And we start saying, a lot of time we spend on this vaikari side of it. While chanting the holy name. And then we make sure that the holy name is translated into so many languages and people want to understand what it means. Understanding words has no meaning. The bhavam behind that, that is more important in the chanting than anything else. So that is why here Krishna is also, when we are analyzing these verses, that when it comes to madhyama, and then it starts from there, para, pashani. Initially, it starts as para, inside. Para word, it's called para. And at that time, it doesn't have a language. It doesn't have a language. And it has transcended the mind. It transcended the language. And it gone into the bhavamandalam. And that bhavam is the one what is purifying him. What is purifying him? And that is what is purifying his senses. That's what purifying his prana and the mind, everything. And it also purifies all the subtle planes inside. When the holy name, when we are chanting, it begins from the para stage. when it comes to Madhyama stage, in Madhyama level is when it purifies everything inside. Because the bhavam is there, suppose it was just a sound you have uttered it from your false ego. With my false ego, like I'm saying that, oh, I have to chant 16 rounds every day. And I've decided I'll chant between, say, 3 and 5 in the morning. I sat there, I took the beads and chanted 16 rounds, counted, I was busy counting the beads and chanting the rounds. And I finished that 16 rounds in a couple of hours. And then I'm saying to myself that, oh, I've finished my rounds now. What have I finished? I finished my Vaikari part of it. I only finished the Vaikari side of it. That bhavam, what it should create inside, before it has come out, in the bhavam stage, whatever that has purified you inside your sushma mandalam. Sushma mandalam means pranam, manasa, and also the senses. If they were all purified by the bhavam inside, then what is that purification? That our impurities inside, lust, anger, greed, you know, kamam, krosam, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, the six kinds of things, and our emotions, all this has to be purified. And if it does that, then it's called dhriti. It's called dhriti. So the holy name has got another important benefit. What that is, that when we start chanting the holy name, we don't know all these things, do we? We are just chanting because we have been told to chant. And if you keep on chanting, the holy name is so powerful that it has got the capacity to go back and purify the subtle states, like the mind, like the intelligence, like the pranam, and all the subtle aspects inside. The holy name has got the capacity to go back and purify. Initially, you won't know these things. But if you keep on chanting, you yourself will start realizing that all these things are true. That's what will happen. But that happens after a long time. But if you, from the very beginning, if you chant with this understanding, it's still better. But even if you chant, even without understanding all these things, but if you are determined to chant the holy name by chanting, it will definitely purify. It will definitely have its effect at some point of time. But it may take a long time. That's the only disadvantage. So if you want to, what do they say? If you want to shortcut and go through faster, HS2, then you got to understand things. Without understanding, we shouldn't do. But even if you do it without understanding, that is why Prabhupada always used to say, chant, he said. Sometimes people were in such a desperate state that they couldn't chant due to various prarabdham in life, is it not? Different prarabdham comes in life. Disturbed mind, disturbed due to drugs, disturbed due to alcohol, disturbed due to broken relationships. Various things in life come, disturbed due to illness in the body. Prabhupada still will say, just chant. He used to say like that, just chant. Because there is no other solution to the problem. That if you chant, somehow or the other, mind will become shanti inside, will come. And if you become somehow or the other, if you are able to hold on to that, that chanting will go inside and purify that subtle planes inside. And if, so when this chanting the holy name gets inside and it goes into all these subtle planes inside of intelligence, mind and the pranam, and in that way, and if the holy name is still operating there, that is called dhriti. That's called dhriti. So dhriti word you have to understand. Everything in relationship with spiritual life is in sattugunam. That's what you have to capture from this. Everything in relationship with spiritual life is sattugunam. Everything in relationship with material life is all rajogunam and tamogunam. Look at the next verse about dhriti. 34. Yayadhu dharma kamarthan dhrityadharayad arjunam prasamgena bhala kankshi
ധൃതി സാപാർത്ഥ രാജസീ യയാധോ ധർമ്മകാമാർത്ഥാൻ ധൃത്യാധാരയതേർജുന പ്രസംഗേന ഫലാകാംക്ഷി ധൃതി സാപാർത്ഥ രാജസീ യയാധോ ധർമ്മകാമാർത്ഥാൻ ധൃത്യാ ധാരയതേ അർജുന പ്രസംഗേന ഫലാകാംക്ഷി ധൃതി സാ പാർത്ഥ രാജസി പാർത്ഥ രാജസി. നൗ ദിസ് ഈസ് ഈസി ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഹിയർ ദർ ദറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് യയാതു ധർമ്മകാമ യാ ബട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഡിറ്റർമിനേഷൻ ബൈ വിച്ച് വൺ ഹോൾഡ്സ് ഫാസ്റ്റ് ടു ഫ്രൂട്ടീവ് ആക്ടിവിറ്റി റിസൾട്ട്സ് ഇൻ റിലിജിയൻ economic development and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. So first thing is, if you are dhriti means that willpower, if it is in the rajasic mode, what it does is it will start saying dharmam artham kamam is important. All your determination will go in that way, in executing dharmam, in executing artham, in executing kamam. Arthakamam mainly, more than dharmam. Arthakamam, all the stress will be on arthakamam. Arthakamam means making money and enjoying life. That will be the principle. Yayadu dharma, because, so with that dharana shakti, dhruti means dharana shakti. Dharana shakti is the word used. That dharana shakti with which dharmam artham kamam is taken seriously inside, and due to excessive attachment to the results of that, one who has that willpower, that is rajogunam. That's rajogunam. You'll find this all who in sportsmen, in musicians, in businessmen, in politicians, all of them, you will see these things. Nothing is connected with spiritual life there. It's all related to becoming prime minister or becoming the chief executive of a big organization or becoming a Wimbledon champion or becoming a famous musician in this world. Everywhere, wherever you notice this, that determination, which is not linked to self-realization, but it is all based on the arthakamam, artham kamam. Desire inside, fulfill that desire. Krishna is saying that Eyardu dharma kamarthan, dharma cha kamaha cha artaha, cha dharma kamarthaha, then dan dharma kamarthan dhritya eya dharayade, manasi nitya kartavya rupan avadharayade he Arjuna. See here. Because those people who have this rajasic dhriti in them, they'll be very particular about dharma artham kamam. They'll be very, very, you have to observe people, only then you will see this. Even in the temple you will see this sometimes. Some people, they have very fixed in their mind that I have to make money, I have to earn money, and for that purpose I need, they are very determined also. I need Krishna's help for that. So, that's approach, relationship with Krishna. It is not meant for self-realization. They will do temple, and they will serve in the temple, they will do things, but inside somewhere in the subtle plane, the decision is not for self-realization. The decision is for arthagama. Basically, in spiritual life, you'll observe one thing. You require a lot of observation of people to understand these things what Krishna is talking about. You don't have to go and tell anybody any of these things, but if you look at people, you will see that how they are operating in this world. Very clear and marked difference in their approach in spiritual life. Totally interested in the arthagama. There are so many activities they are doing throughout the day in business, in their activities, vyavaharam outside. But they will come and they will make sure that in the morning also or evening, whatever it is, morning they come asking for the help, evening they come to say the thanks to Krishna after the day. So whatever way it is, it is a thing that works in a very subtle plane. You can't blame anybody for that. In a subtle plane, Arthagamam is the controlling factor for them. That means their dhriti is in the rajasic plane. And because it is in the rajasa state, it will be always linked with Arthagamam. Arthagamam will be the goal that is made up already. And therefore, their willpower, their strength, determination, everything will be connected with that decision what they have already made inside. There's nothing you can do. And it requires Krishna's grace to come out of all these things, all this misunderstanding. Rajasik dhriti, rajasik buddhi, rajasik shraddha, rajasik karta, rajasik everything. How powerful these modes of nature are in life. First of all, she plays this game with us all the time and won't even allow you to understand it properly. And she is playing this all the time in the mind, in the intelligence, everywhere, but not in the Atma. There is no modes in the Atma. Atma is in the mind and the body, isn't it? If you remember in the Bhagavadam, Sattvam Rajasthama Idi Gunam Buddheer Na Chalpmana. Krishna says that to Uddhava, isn't it? Always remember that. It's not in the Atma. It's all in this package, subtle body. And the gross body, it's playing, that's where it's all playing around. So, after Krishna is saying here that if you look at those people, then if you observe them, you'll see they have a strong desire for the results. Very, very, very strong desire for the results. And and for getting that result, they will do the dharmam and all, they will justify. Very powerful justification for he will do all that. And he will also be very committed in his anushtanam, in his daily life. Anushtanam means his daily routine, spiritual activities, what he does. He'll go to the temple and he will very strongly, he will make sure that he's there on time. He'll make sure that he has his own method of relating with Krishna in a particular way, that he will carry on with all that. And he will have no difficulty in saying to Krishna that I want it, this results from my karma. He will have no problem in saying that to him. And he will engage in spiritual activities also, in the sense that he will do a lot of money in charity, and at the same time he will earn a lot of money as well. And then then he will offer a part of that to Krishna, but he takes great pleasure in that successes come through him. That will be his satisfaction. He'll feel a great satisfaction when he wins a huge contract, when he makes a huge profit, business people, or politician, if he beats everybody else and wins the election or takes up some big position. Or any other, in every different fields, whatever they are after. So important point here is that Krishna is making it explicitly clear to us, all that is not conducive for spiritual realization. So therefore, it is put into this category of rajasic dhriti. He has got dhriti, but it is rajasic. It is rajasic. Remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, while Krishna talked about the divine and the demonic nature, he talked about a group of people who says there, forget that verse, adhyosmi, abhijanosmi, konyosmi, sabrishodrisha. Something like that, a word. What is that word number? Adhyosmi, 16:15. That's it. That's his mood. See there? The third verse, there's three verses together. Idam adhyamaya labdham. Imam prapsye manoratham. idam astidam abhime bhavishyati punardhanam. Asau maya hata shatru hanishe chapara nabi ishwaroham aham bhogi siddoham bhalavan sukhi. Adhyosmi abhijanosmi adhyobi janavanasmi konyosi sadrusho maya yakshe dasyami modishya iti ajnana vimohidaha.
That means there is no one as powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices, I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such person are deluded by ignorance. So this state about them, Krishna himself has said this about them, about such people, isn't it? So what they think is they are adhya. Adhya means that we are special people. We are very special in this world. And why? Because we have got a lot of wealth. And with this lot of wealth, we will perform big, big sacrifices. And with these sacrifices, I'll give a lot of this in charity. The result that I'll go to the heavenly planets and I will stay there comfortably in the heavenly planets. Iti ajnana vimohidaha. Due to this ajnanam inside, they are captivated by that. So, dharmam, artham, kamam, all these three things, because dharmam, someone who is engaged in dharmam, or another dharmam here, it means that charity. If he is doing a lot of dharmam like that, then he says here, that lot of money is coming to me, lot of money is coming to me. Therefore, he is also saying that he gives charity, and but at the same time, he's working hard in this world, and somehow due to his own prarabdham, a lot of wealth is coming. So what he does is he connects these two things together. I given the charity, and therefore, pleased with me, Krishna is giving me a lot of wealth. He connects these two things together, and not only that, and because wealth is coming like this, I will enjoy my life. Why should I not enjoy my life? That will be his logic. And that willpower in doing that is called rajasi. It's rajasi. So, because you know where this word rajasi comes from? It comes from the word raja, king. It's a king from whom the word rajasi comes, isn't it? So, therefore, like the king, he wants to live like a king. That is where this rajasam comes, rajasi. So, he is enjoying life, and at the same time, he is busy in charity, and also he's not too bothered about self-realization or going back home, back to God and all that. That's a bit too much for him. He's just happy, live here comfortably, for which you need the money, wealth is required, enjoy your life very well, and everybody should respect me. All these are the effect of this rajasik dhruti. Adhyopi abhijanosmi konyosmi sadrusho maya. Krishna says, Krishna says that person will think, who is there like me in this world? He starts thinking like that. So that is what rajasic nature means. That's all. That's all it is important. Let's look at the tamasic dhruti now. Tamasic dhruti. Next verse. Tamasic dhruti is more interesting. When you only read all these things, you get an insight into our mind, our own mind, isn't it? And insight into other examples. Plenty, Krishna sent so many examples in this world for us to look at also. And looking at them, and looking at Bhagavad Gita, you start thinking how true all these things are. Yaya svapnam bhayam shokam. Vishadam madameva cham na vimunchati durmedha dhruti sa partha sattvi tamasi yaya svapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madameva cham na vimunchati durmedha dhruti sa partha sattvi tamasi. That is it. First word itself is swapna. Yaya Swapna, always dreaming. This is their nature. Dreaming about the future. How much money I'll be making from this deal, that deal, and how much is going to come from different investments. And today I'm like this, what it'll, he doesn't do anything, he only dreams. Swapna. And that determination, which cannot go beyond dreaming, he won't do anything, he will just dream things. Some people say, at least I can live in the dream, it doesn't cost anything. He said. They say like that. To live in a, there's a saying, I can't remember in English, there's a saying for that. That you are in that dream world, it doesn't cost anything. You can live in that world as long as you like. You don't have to pay for it. So, which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness and illusion, such unintelligent determination, O son of Pritha, is the mood of darkness. The mood of darkness. So, here,
Yada sapnam bhayam shogam vishadam adam evaja na vimunchani durmetha dhritisa tamasi madha.
So, because his dharana shakti, dhriti means dharana shakti, the power of this dharana means to dhar means to make things happen, that ability, willpower, in other words, yeah. So, because of that, he is not able to give up sleep. Sleep. He's always sleeping, dreaming, in other words. And then he is also fearful to do something in this world. He's frightened to do anything because he's fearful. Then he is also lamenting about things. Oh, it didn't happen because of this, because of that. There will be so many reasons he will find why things are not happening. He has plans for the future, but it's not happening. But he will find excuses. Because this didn't, they didn't do this, that's why it has happened like this. They will blame others. Sometimes children say, they say to the parents, when they didn't get anywhere in their life with the work and all the things, they'll say, oh, because you didn't send me to a good school. That's why it has happened. They will blame the parents for that, would they not? Things like that. These are all silly things, but you can see how that tamasic dhriti, whereas an intelligent person will never say like that. He will say things, he will see things in a better way, better than that. Or similarly, you will also say so many other things, that, oh, I should have chosen that job rather than this kind of work. And this is all the part of that dhriti inside. He will neither do that job properly, neither this job properly. And but he will find an excuse for something. For everything there is an excuse for them, to make it an excuse. So lamentation like that. Swapnam, bhayam, shokam, vishadam. And then, not only that, his ego will be very high. He'll always think himself very important, capable, and very intelligent, all these things. About himself, he has a very high opinion. These are all symptoms of that tamasic dhriti. Tamasic dhriti. Yaya swapnam, nidra, bhayam, trasam, shokam. Vishadam, avasadam, avasadam, avasadam vishanadam madam vishaya sevam almano bhum anyamano matta eva madam eva cha manasi nityam eva kartavya rupataya kurvan na vimunchati dharayati eva durmetha kulsidametha purusha ya tasya dhriti ya sa tamasi madha. That means sleeping, fear and distress and sorrow, all these things are the symptoms of this dhriti, tamasic dhriti. And one, instead of giving up all these things, that means you are sleeping, your habits, changing your habits, and giving up this lamentation business, anchoring a lamentation business, and giving up the distress, and to engaging in activity, instead of that, he thinks about himself very important, that I am very clever, or I am very successful. Such a person, Krishna is saying here, he has got tamasic dhriti. He is different than the rajasic dhriti. You can see that. So, when you look at it now, you see sattvika dhriti, rajasic dhriti, tamasic dhriti. All three are different, are they not? All three are different. Tamasic dhriti is one type, rajasic dhriti is another type, and sattvika dhriti is a different type altogether. So, Krishna's point is, keep all these things
and create Satvika Dhruti inside. Dharana Rajasi Dhruti and Tamasa Dhruti. To come out of those, the other two is important. Guna Bhedena Kriyanam Karakanamcha Trivida Bheda Uktaha Ada Idanim Phalaseja Sukhaseja Trida Bheda Muchyate. So, due to different modes of nature, due to that, how karma happens, because Krishna started this chapter with karma, you have to forget, remember that. And then he spoke to us the factors that influences karma. That is when all these things came out, is it not? Karta and jnanam and buddhi and dhruti. All this is in relationship with karma, where it started from. So, in order to bring that karma to karma yoga, if that has to happen, all these things are a part of that necessity to become karma yogi. Because through karma yoga, chitta shuddhi will happen. And through chitta shuddhi, jnanam will come or bhakti will come. That's the way it happens, the progression. Initially, karma. Karma has to purify. Karma is the one factor after Krishna more powerful in this world. And that karma to purify, Krishna is saying karma yoga. In order that karma yoga to operate, Krishna took upon karma in detail. He started explaining that. First 20 verses about karma. And then he told us what factors are influencing karma. Is it not? He told us that. And then he said, each of them have to go through under three modes. Jnanam, Karta, Buddhi, Dhruti and karma. All under three modes. And that so far he has spoken about all that. And if in this way, if you execute the karma, then happiness will come from that. Krishna is saying there. And what kind of happiness will come due to what kind of karma you have performed, again fall into three modes. Sukham. That's what Krishna is going to talk about from now on. So prior to that, Krishna begins that here, he says here, that this tamogunam, tamogunam when it is inside, his willpower, how will that be? Krishna says, durmedaha. Durmedaha, is he say that word? He says there, na vimunchati durmedha. What is durmedha? You remember this word medha shakti? Medha shakti. So, good medha shakti is sumedhasa. Yajandehi sumedhasa. Who says that? Hari Maharshi says. Yajandehi sumedhasa. You will see in the Bhagavatam. So, there is sumedhasa and durmedha. Sumedhasa is that good medha shakti. Durmedha means the bad medha shakti. So, Medha Devi is the one which gives this dhruti. Medha Suktam is there to create good Medha Shakti inside. Shri Suktam, Medha Suktam, Narayana Suktam, Purusha Suktam. These are all different prayers in the Vedam which the Brahmanas chant regularly to create the Sattva Gunam inside. Medha Suktam creates Sattvagunam, Sattvika Medhas. Similarly, Narayana Suktam, those who wants to surrender to Vishnu. And anyway, a person who has this Durmedha, Medha Devi is a deity, form personified form Medha Devi. She won't go anywhere closer to this person who has got Durmedha. And because inside him is Durmedha. And his dhruti or ichha shakti or willpower is full of sapnam bhayam shokam vishadam bhayam na vimunchati. Says sir, that eya sapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madam evacha na vimunchati durmedha dhruti sa partha tamasi. Because whenever he gets time, what he does? He will sleep. And if he wakes up, he will start dreaming. Always dreaming. If he is woken up, he will dream. If he is not, he will sleep. And always he has fear inside. Anxiety about the future and the fear. And because of that, this unusual, some people you can observe this, some unusual fear in them. Always very fearful. And they will get all kinds of sickness also due to that fear. In some people, if you observe, you will notice this. Always they'll be frightened about something. If you ask him what they are frightened about, they won't know what it is. But they are frightened. But they don't know what they are frightened about. But they are frightened. That's all. And there are many illnesses that come from that. And that is all a symptoms of this tamogunam inside. Different kinds of fear and different kinds of lamentation. And without any reason, mind is in disturbed state. Either they will be worrying about somebody else, or something has happened in their life, and they will be expecting sympathy from everybody in this world, and they will always be crying, always presenting themselves in a very pitiable state. So they enjoy this. If somebody is showing some, sympathy for them, then they will feel happy. Oh, at least he understands what I'm saying. Or he is very sympathetic. They want your sympathy, that's all. All they want from you is your sympathy. Nothing. They don't want anything else. If you tell them something sensible, they won't listen. Only sympathy they want from you. So, till somebody gives them that sympathy and gives them some relief, they will keep on looking for someone. And so, when they come and tell you all their problems in life, if you hear all that, and if you identify yourself with those problems, if you tell them that, look, I've got the similar problems, I'm suffering from that, then they're satisfied. They feel happy about that. So, that's one way of life in this world. People are like that, if they've got all the kinds of problems. All you have to do is you identify with their problems, in other words. You tell them, and if you tell them that, oh, there's no problem in that, they will not accept it. They say, you don't know, I know, because I'm the one who is experiencing it. They will reply you like that. This is all our mind, because what can you say? The modes of nature has got inside and doing all these things. So, this is called tamasik dhriti. So, but at the same time, their pride and their ego, they won't give it up. They will still be there. And if you give them any instructions, they won't listen. And at the same time, if you tell them that, why are you suffering like this? Why don't you give it up? Give all these things. Come and hear Bhagavad Gita. If you say that to him, they will say to you like this, I am telling you all my problems, and you are telling me Bhagavad Gita? That will be the answer. That's how they will answer. And you are thinking that, is this the time to preach to me? They will say like that. And it's not a time for joking, they'll say. I'm very serious, I'm suffering. Because my problems you don't know. He says, nobody understands my situation, they say. And if you ask him what's the problem, problem will be something related to some relations or something related to material life. That's his problem. Something, material life is full of problems. If you think that there is no problem in material life, you are very stupid to think that, isn't it? So, working on those problems and getting worrying in this world, there is no end to it. The whole life you will spend in that way. So, sometimes it will be something silly thing. It won't be very serious either. Sometimes the mother puts a lot of pressure on the child to study. Child wants to play. Mother gets so tense about that. Mother is saying, why are you not studying? What is your, what do they call it, the scorecard? How many A-levels have you got? Or how many A-plus have you got? And mother will be suffering. The child is thinking, what A-level? Let me live my life, enjoy my life. No. Mother will put so much pressure. And then mother will put pressure. And then what the mother says? Mother says to father, you're not saying anything to him. That is why he has become like this. So the two together, father and the mother, start. And finally the child gets so disgusted with the whole thing. He says, I go my way, you go your way. And he walks out from there. So these are one example. Like this, in so many instances you can see that due to somebody's samogunam, in that person, so many other people have to suffer. The father has to, father initially keeps quiet, he thinks, let him enjoy his life, whatever he wants to do in life.
But he's not only, he pulls him in as well. And then puts the pressure on the child. So due to the mother's samogunam, the son or the daughter or the father, they all have to suffer because of that. Isn't it? So similarly, a death happens in the family. Somebody died, relation, consort, somebody called close people of that. Immediately you start worrying, what will happen now? Nothing will happen. They will die and go. You will also die and go. That's all what will happen. But because at that moment in time, tamogunam takes over in us. And we are not able to think with that clarity at that moment. It will not happen to us like that. We will be worrying about it. What will happen in the future? Did Krishna sign a contract with us that he will be with you for the rest of the life? We haven't signed any contract. When you got married, when you had children, you knew very well that it's not permanent, isn't it? But still, when something happens in life, some disturbances happens in life, the health goes away or death happens, immediately you become, that become your whole life then. You start worrying about it for the rest of the life. What will happen? Is she sick or he sick? And then tomorrow if she dies and goes away, what will happen to my life? Like this, they'll build on one on top of the other and worrying about it. All this is tamasik dhridi. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, and some people you will see that death has happened in their life or illnesses has come and they will still remain happily in life. They're not bothered about it. What can you do? Just come, what to do about it? So, because of the sattvagunam. Sattvagunam helps at that time. If there is sattvagunam, you will be in a position to properly analyze it at that time and able to come to the right conclusions. But if the dhridi is in tamogunam, you will completely surrender to that and become hankering, lamentation and distress and feeling, expecting sympathy from everybody. What anybody else can do? Suppose somebody dies. And we have a system like that, isn't it? If a death happens, we go and they say, oh, we want to give the condolences to them. All this is society's rule. From spiritual point, it's all waste of time. And if everybody is doing and if I don't do it, then what will they say? Oh, he didn't even come. And that will be the song for another 6 months. They will say to all the relatives, you know, they never came when so-and-so died. This is regular in the society. This is what social life means. All this hankering, lamentation, without any knowledge inside. Suppose somebody died at home. Suppose you come and tell me that, oh, you know, this is natural, isn't it? Death is unavoidable. And you tell me one or two verses on the Bhagavad Gita. And I should be so stupid to think that by those verses they are going to come back. Those who are gone, they won't come back, they are gone. But if I have faith in the Bhagavad Gita, suppose if I don't have any faith in the Bhagavad Gita, and you come and console me, you brought me some bunch of flowers, or you brought me any other way you tried to, or a card, or something like that, to console me. And if I put all my faith in the flowers and the card and think that it's going to solve my problem, that's not going to happen. So all that, the social ideas, what we distribute to everybody, and we inject this to children also, that these are all necessary in the society, you know. And then we train them up in that way. Because we have done that, because our grandparents also did the same thing. Parents did that. We are doing it. Now we should be. This is our parampara. Ajnana parampara it's called. Ajnanam, from generations before it started flowing and it freely flows through us to the next generation. Nobody is blocking that. Ajnana parampara it's called. So this is that dhridi at that time, able to discriminate when something happens in life and able to come about than that is sattvagunam, sattvagi. That dhridi is sattvagi. But instead if you get victimized by that and feel distressed about that, then that is tamasi. That is tamasi. So sometimes you can see this, that especially where the pressure is very strong on the children for education, you will see the mother gets involved. Mother says that, oh, you have wasted your time. So much money we have spent on you for the education, university education, and all these things. And so the father is asking the child that that why is your result so poor? Child says, I don't know. I have done what I can. This is what I got. What am I supposed to do? So, so somehow or the other, you are suffering for nothing. For no reason you are suffering. Because nothing will happen because you become very distressed and you spend your sleepless nights that because the son didn't get this or daughter didn't get that or whatever it is. So, thinking about things which has no relationship with your life in this world and suffering from that, that is called the shogam. And that is, it's a symptom of tamogunam inside. That's what Krishna is saying. Tamogunam buddhi, the symptom of that, Arjuna, it says, and the mind is always sleeping, jadyada. So many kinds of dreaming about that and not willing to do any work. But at the same time, he has no willpower in the sattvagunam. Practically you can say he has no drudhi. He has no willpower at all. Rajogunam person has got willpower to get what he wants. You see? That's the difference. The person in Rajogunam, he has got the willpower to work hard to get what he wants. Only thing is, it's not spiritual. That's all. Tamogunam person, he doesn't have any willpower. Nothing. So we'll discuss it next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.